welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Phone number 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. Rock icon Gene Simmons is coming in here. I'm interested in meeting him. Never met him. Appears to be an exquisite blowhard, but then I saw a whole History Channel or Biography Channel thing on him. Still a blowhard, but an entrepreneurial blowhard, and an interesting guy.
I thought you were saying he works with the kids who have the cleft lips or something like that.
No. I wasn't going to say that. Also, Taryn, the hot sales girl, is going to come by and shake her ass and write the guys. Oh, our drunken tree mascot, finally back.
Ooh.
Finally back. And Fred Goss, actor, creator from the hit show Sons and Daughters, which I've watched last week and enjoyed. Speaking of TV, The Sopranos, everyone's talking about Sopranos. And
that last night?
Yeah, it was last night. And if you didn't see it, you should tune. Tony got shot.
Oh, you
did. I thought I'd just do it that way, you know. Because I don't like
ripped
when they
rip the Band-Aid off fast. Huh?
Condescendingly. Yeah, that's what I do. Like, that's how I do. On the count of three, I'm going to pull the Band-Aid off. One, two, boom. Pull it right there. Isn't that the way we'd all like life to go? I mean, if somebody said, you know, on the count of three, I'm going to punch you in the stomach or I'm going to stab you with this fork. Don't we all want it on two?
Yeah. I love surprises.
Yeah.
That's great. I'll laugh. I will start giggling heartily at do it again. Do it again, Adam. Do it again.
Okay. I'm going to tell you guys what happened on last night's Sopranos, but let me just warn you, if you don't want to know or you TiVo'd it, you should... Tony got shot! Yes.
How was it?
Yeah. Tony was shot. I'm sure he'll be okay. I do series math.
You think?
You know, when a guy gets shot in the first episode of a 12-episode run or however many they're going to do, I'm just going to assume
Adam,
he'll make it through.
No.
Although...
No, he's dead.
With The Sopranos, you never know. Weird flashback. He could go into a coma and then the rest could be a weird flashback or something.
Also, they have... you know, you'd think that the makers of the show are probably pretty PO'd with him ever since. Didn't he, like, have contract holdouts and all that sort of stuff? Maybe they're like, screw you, buddy. You want to hold out on us? Screw up our production schedule?
We'll put a bullet in you.
Don't think you're too good to die.
I say this. I say he's dead.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, let me say this.
Mm-hmm.
My mother, Mo Damashek, calls me in the middle of the day. She said, I have to share a revelation before it airs tonight. I bet you Tony Soprano gets shot and killed in this episode. And I said, why? She said, I've just done the math. I keep doing you know, there's a shocker. This is a shocker. You're not going to believe. She decided, and the picture, you know, the picture, the promotional photo shows everybody at a funeral and Tony is separated. He's sitting in the chair. Everyone else is at the funeral.
Mm-hmm.
She did the math on it. Kudos to her. He at least got shot.
Look at your mom.
I think he's dead.
She's a wizard.
Kudos to Mo.
Yeah. I mean,
she's a witch. She should be burned at the stake.
Yeah.
But he must be dead. No? You think he's going to live? The only thing that leaves the door open is that the 911 call went through. If that hadn't happened, we assume they'll trace it and go over there.
On one hand, when you shoot a guy on a show, a hardcore show like Sopranos, and you don't kill him, it's kind of pussy-esque, you know? I mean, you're sort of jerking around with people. They don't do that too much. On the other hand, if he dies, it's going to be tough to finish out the rest of the series, or they'll have to be amazingly creative to do it.
No,
it'll
you
be
know
six
what,
feet under-ish.
No, you know what they're going to do?
Because
it's like they've already... television's like boring now. They can't do anything, so they got to shoot the main character, and it's a big surprise. You know what it's going to be? They're going to use it so that they can fake his death for some reason. So he's going to be dead to everybody except for, like, the wife.
Uh-huh.
The wife is going to be the only one that knows that he's still alive. And then they're going to do something shady.
Interesting. Well, that three scenarios. He dies, he doesn't die, or we think he dies, but he didn't really die. Are those the three scenarios?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know that I buy that last one. It seems a little too private, an arrangement. The grandfather, uncle shooting him.
Why don't we call your mom and see what she thinks?
That's right. Well, she with the witch, fine. She with the witch knows. Speaking of the Sopranos, the song has always bothered me. I realize...
I love that song.
I think people like the song like they like the sound that comes from the ice cream truck. Which is they've learned to associate it. Like
Pavlovian.
This is great. This is great entertainment. Or I'm going to get a bomb pop. You know, there's certain things in your brain that you really associate with good and positive things, and I think this is one of them. And I think after four, five, six seasons, it's grown on people. But I remember the first 10 times I heard it, I would always just fast forward through it. I didn't like the song. Like, and I was thinking to myself, I was trying to separate the song from the show yesterday. I was sitting with my wife, we're watching the show, she loves The Sopranos, and I started to fast forward to the beginning where he pulls up in the driveway. And she said, "What are you doing? I like this song." And I said, "You don't really like this song, do you?" And she said, "No, I do." And we both listened for a couple of beats, and she went, "All right, fast forward through the driveway." And then I realized I've never heard anyone sitting around and listening to it.
Well, yeah, it's not a song you want to sit around and listen to, but much like the opening to The Apprentice, I feel like they're just good. It's like a good opening song.
It fits.
Pumps you up. It makes you feel excited.
It fits the show, but I realize if you didn't love the show so much, you probably wouldn't like the song very much either. But anyway, so
what'd you think of the William Burroughs sort of the meditation on death that they played at the beginning and at the, you know, the montage, and then over the credits, you know, they always are playing a good song. Instead, they played that thing, you know, where Burroughs is talking, you know, talking about that. Remember that?
Yeah, that was cool.
Interesting. I thought it was cool.
I thought that was cool. Then we had to use a quick TiVo break when Carmella and the building inspector walked through her spec house, and the guy was explaining that he went with kiln dried burl pine instead of, and of course I yelled out Doug Fir before he yelled out Doug Fir, but a totally implausible building situation, by the way.
The only thing
that bothered me, that they used the wrong 2x4s to build the entire spec house.
They couldn't get that far, is what you're saying?
It would never happen. It's never happened. It would cost just as much to do it that way, and it couldn't get that far, and it just wouldn't. It was a very implausible way to do it. But so my wife enjoys when I stop and really break it down from a building standpoint.
What a joy you are, Adam. What
oh, that
joy.
TiVo remote. That TiVo remote in my hands is really, it's like x-ray specs on the head of a pedophile. It is dangerous. It's like they're just going hanging out at preschools looking at 9-year-old boys, you know, 6-year-old boys. I mean, me with that TiVo, you know, a blowhard with a TiVo pause, frightening. Stopping it down and breaking it down like game film, like Lombardi in the coach's room. I mean, literally take me 4 or 5 hours to get through a half hour episode of a sitcom. Breaking it all up. Why did he say that? Look at that. That's true. Yeah. Everything's fake-o.
Yeah. Well, what about also just prior to Tony's getting shot? Well, that was a grim, you know, suicide that was, eh?
First time I've ever seen a guy hang himself, and we get to see him hang,
what?
As opposed
That's
to
the first time you ever saw anyone hang themselves,
other than a few roommates. Yeah, I mean on TV. I come home to some lifeless corpses hanging from the kitchen.
But you've never seen it.
Well, I've never seen... They depict it all the time in movies and television. They show the guy putting the noose on. They show him sort of making peace with his maker. And then they just show his feet swinging around. Mm-hmm. And that seems to be the end of it. They never show any struggling. They never show what would most probably and most likely happen if you did choose that way to die. Which I've always thought, how much do you have to hate your... How lazy do you have to be? Or, you know, with all the booze and barbiturates out there.
Yeah, terrible.
You know what I mean? I mean, it seems like a crazy way to kill yourself. And it also seems like, yeah.
If I was gonna have to kill myself, how would I do it? Like, what's
I think about how to kill you.
Wussy way.
What do you?
I mean,
yeah, I fantasize
like,
about. What? What are you talking about?
No, like, do you ever think about that?
Yes.
Like, if I was gonna kill my, no way, well, bullet.
Let me say this. First off, killing. There's two things. Oh, I got a lot to say about this now. So first off, an amazing depiction of what most likely does happen when you hang yourself. You struggle for air. I mean, it's a reflexive thing. You can't let your body go limp while you're choking the life out of it. And it went on, and it was very well done, and you've just never seen it. No matter how hardcore the R movie is, you've never seen people struggling unless somebody was trying to hang them.
Right. You see it in the WW2 documentaries, but they had long. The difference was
they
had longer rope,
and they fell,
and it breaks their neck because the rope because the
right.
drop is longer.
Snaps the neck.
You know, this was short.
There's a couple things. One is I once saw a documentary about people that survived jumping over or off the Golden Gate Bridge. Because a certain amount of people kill themselves every year.
That's a terrible way to go.
One would think. Well, for some people, it just breaks down to simple economics. I mean, they don't have the booze or the pills or the gun or whatever it's going to take. But, and this is the freest form of suicide. But they do, and they're even thinking about putting barriers up in places like the Golden Gate
and
Bridge.
The chances of surviving. Like, if I'm going to kill myself, I don't want to have a chance of surviving.
Now
you know what I mean?
Die.
Because you could be
right.
maimed or just something bad. Oh,
yeah.
Lying there in pain for hours.
Breathing tubes.
Terrible.
And all that kind of stuff.
Awful.
So there's a certain percentage of people, and I think it's only about 5 or 10 in the history of the Golden Gate Bridge, because thousands of people have killed themselves by jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge. There is a handful of people who have survived that fall.
Is that right?
Yes.
Oh, I just thought it was a matter of fact that you would be dead.
Well, I think there's probably been about 2,000 people that have tried or that have killed themselves by, you know, since the thing opened in the 30s, and maybe 10 or 15 people have survived. So it's a pretty low percentage, but if you think about it, it is water down there.
Those
so
odds are too good.
There's the chance you might make it. But anyway, they survived, and they all say, every one of them says, when they jumped, the first thing they thought when they pushed off the edge was, why'd I do it? I went back on the bridge. Now, one could argue, and I've sort of thought about this, that that's just a surge and a survival surge that hits every human being, every creature on the planet. There is something built into your DNA that needs to survive. You can't hold your breath and kill yourself. No matter how depressed you are, you'll take a gulp of air. So maybe part of that is that surge of survival that hits. But what a last thing to think about as you fell to your death, to your watery death down there. Ah, big mistake. I mean, is that what you want to think, be thinking when you're just out of reach of that railing? Big mistake. Shouldn't have done it all the way down. That's a good reason not to kill yourself that way. The people that jump off of high buildings have huevos the likes I've never seen. You know what I mean? Those are huevos. Those are
that's
balls to jump
worst.
Off the high building. It is. I mean, what? Yes.
What a terrible way to die.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
I like it. Off of a bridge, if you knew for sure you were going to die, that would be glorious.
Yeah, but that's the thing is you don't know.
Into the sea. Good night.
Well,
and
how would you?
No funeral, no body to recover.
Well,
you land on the ground, like from, you know, 30 stories, that's a horrid mess.
No, they would, but they would recover
the
you
pain.
Most likely. Yes.
The
no.
pain.
Well,
the instant.
It's instant.
Yeah, but how do you know?
That's exactly how I've talked about it. That's how I would want to go.
You'd want to jump?
Out of a plane, no parachute.
But
you got nothing you can do but enjoy the ride at the end.
Yeah, but
people have lived jumping out of planes.
Not if they jump high enough.
Well, yeah, parachutists.
No, it happens once in a while. Somebody lands in a bog or some mire or something. But not
if
you're not
land
gonna,
right,
not you.
If you land right, you can survive. I'm doing the motion right now. That if you land on your stomach, apparently, you break all your teeth and your face.
No, in the movies.
But you live.
In the movies, you just keep landing on the awnings, the series of awnings
yes.
on the way down the building. Keep getting holes, but on the last one,
well,
it holds you.
Here's the thing. If I knew, and you know, if someone said, look, you're going to die on Thursday at noon on Thursday, I might jump out of the airplane Wednesday at midnight or something like that.
Why?
But if I knew I was going to die,
so you could beat fate to the punch?
Well,
how did you kill yourself day before you knew you were going to die?
Oh, because I want to go for the free fall rush.
Oh, because you want to
That's
know.
All I'm saying. But if I just want to kill myself.
100% pure adrenaline.
That's me. 100%. You know why? Because I live my life a quarter mile at a time. I would just. No, but here's what I'm saying. With drugs and booze and all that stuff, you could. I'll tell you the way to go, everybody. You kids, you listening? Here's what you do.
No, you can't talk.
Well, look. Let's just
you mean hypothetically?
Hypothetically. Right. Carbon monoxide.
Oh, that's the best way to go.
Best. The best. I've had carbon monoxide poisoning before, as may have discussed. Oh man. Well, first off, let me tell you what happens when you get the carbon monoxide. You get tired like it's a movie and somebody put something in your drink. You know what I mean? You're just sort of like, and you've never been more tired in your life, and you just can't keep your eyes up. It's, you know what it's like? It's like when you're a little kid and you're trying to stay up and watch the late night movie with your dad or something, and it just, you hit the wall about 10:30 at night, and you're trying, but your eyes just squeeze. You know, that kind of tired you only had as a kid. This went before you had the weight of the world on you. This is what happens with carbon monoxide. My mom had a hippie friend who had like a microbus named Zorback. I know it sounds, you know, back in the days when it was cool to smoke weed and, you know, collect a welfare check every once in a while.
What do you mean back in the day?
Still cool.
Oh,
still
yeah.
Hip. And this bus was like a converted school bus or something. They had like a screen door in the back, and I fell asleep in the back of the bus. Yeah, on a magical mystery tour. And, you know, it's like when you drive in a car and the hatch is open. You ever remember some point in your life when you had to move a piece of furniture with your roommate or something? You put the hatch open, you put the end table at the back, and you're driving. All of a sudden, you're smelling gasoline and fumes and stuff. It all just gets sucked in the back. And also, people don't remember how much used to come out of the tailpipe of cars. You can drive behind a Honda all day long now with your window down, no big deal. But back in the day, if you were behind like some old 72 Ford LTD and you're going up the freeway on ramp, your eyes would start watering. Well, this was a bus. I got it. We stopped at some supermarket. They left. They left me in the bus there. And I woke up at some point. I was staggering around a supermarket, staggering, found myself some cook. Actually went to sleep in the bathroom of the supermarket. And some guy came in and roused me, told me to get moving. But, you know, lightheaded.
How old were you?
Yeah, it's probably 10 or something like that.
A 10-year-old asleep in the bathroom of a supermarket, and that's what you tell. Get up, go on your way.
And I think he offered me a cigarette, and then he told me to get moving. Yeah, it was a different time. Some would say a more innocent time. But, yeah, we didn't care so much about kids, you know. It's just like, hey, come on, get out of there. Take your wind-up beanie and go play some stickball or something. Skidoo. Skedaddle. Something with a ska. Anyway, the point is I was only back there for an hour and a half or 2 hours, just being diluted with the oxygen and everything because we're on the freeway. But all I'm saying is this puts you to sleep and then you just never wake up. So if that's the way to go. So for me, combination, get the pills going, get the booze going, and then go with the carbon monoxide.
I just say go the extra mile. Do the heroin. Do the smack. Ride the horse into heaven.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Chase the dragon right into heaven. Or I would probably appeal to Dr. Drew or even Dr. Damashek, Dave Damashek's father, and say, look, come on, hit me with something good. Let's go. Mm-hmm. I'm miserable. I'm not telling you to stick me with the needle. I'll do it myself. But load up a nice cocktail. Let's make this easy. Mm-hmm. Yes?
Yes, I agree. I say yay. And if I have to kill myself, I don't know under what circumstance I would ever consider this. But yes,
just to see the look on your mom's face. It'd be worth it just for that. All right.
Zing.
So
April Fool's is coming up.
They hung them. He hung himself. He hanged himself. I always screw that up. And then started urinating immediately too.
Yeah. No dignity.
Flailed and then urinated. Yes, I will evacuate my bowels.
And then you have the next show, the one about the the polygamist, which was good. But it didn't have the Tony Soprano maybe laying dead. He just took a bullet,
right.
You know. And then they roll into this this domestic story. Well, it was a good picture. It was a good show, but it was a bad thing right behind the Sopranos. Life and death literally on the line in this show. Then you're talking about relationships.
Tough act to follow. Yeah. I got polygamy thoughts. I got a lot of polygamy thoughts. Now, people, I'm not so sure. I just think I'll clarify it for people. The bigamy and the polygamy. Bigamy is one wife or two wives, and then the polygamy is the multi, the poly, as opposed to the bi.
Bigamy sounds worse.
It really does.
Bigamy was when you were a racist.
That's bigotry.
Oh.
Yeah, bigamy. Yeah, bigamy sounds worse than polygamy. Mm-hmm. If you're a bigamite.
You're not a bigot. You're a bigamite.
Bigamite might be a decent name for a junior college football team. The Bigamites. All right. Yes, we will discuss because I have thoughts on that. Also, like to get a little hobo power infused back into the program. You call in. You tell us your greatest hobo power achievement. As you know, that's a unit of stink measurement that I've come up with, and 100. Is doesn't exist. The only one that's ever smelled 100 hobo power is not lived to tell the tale. And 50, again, just so you can all calibrate your hobo power gauges, 50 hobo power is a cat that's been fed nothing but blue cheese defecating on a white hot hibachi. So we'll do a little hobo power math after this. Call in with your stories. Gene Simmons coming in. All that after this.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now, 866-901-ADAM.
Yeah, I miss that song. Who's this, Beck? Yeah.
I have a question about a song.
Forgot about
this
song.
What happened when we went to commercial? Did we play the Gin Blossoms?
I think we did.
What gives?
Yeah, just follow you down. I was saying because it was all about jumping off bridges.
Oh, okay. All right. Listen, if it related, I apologize.
Get off your hipster high horse.
Oh, come on. The Gin Blossoms blow it.
Ah, they used to be cool. Come on. They're named after W.C. Fields' nose. Give them a break.
Ugh.
All right. Yeah. Hey, jealousy.
Yes, that's clearly what I am. I'm jealous of how cool they were.
When you heard this song in 1993, right. You weren't upset by
it. Yes, I was. I hated it. It's garbage.
You were like, one day there'll be a group called Mighty Mouse, and I will follow them. Until then, I say fair to you. Or whatever. That's what I was. Yeah. This is not a bad... This wasn't...
Lame.
Look, also, but you, in 1994, you were coming off of, like... you're still coming off glam rock and stuff. This wasn't bad.
It's a little... By this, you're fully into the Nirvana phase of music.
This is not a bad song, though.
It's for girls. It's for sorority girls as they get ready for a big night on the town.
No.
Margaritas. Let's go out and get wasted, girls!
No. I don't even understand. Hey, jealousy, I don't like a song that doesn't really mean anything. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't care.
He is talking about getting loaded and begging it for sex, isn't he?
Yeah, what is this song about?
I have no idea what it's about. I couldn't care less.
Oh, it's not a bad song at all.
What is it about?
Oh, who knows? Well, what else any song about?
Well, if it's not immediately evident to me, then I don't like it.
I don't know. The only confusing part is the hey, jealousy part. The rest of it is him just trying to get back with some chick and get laid and wants to booze it up and he won't tell anybody.
Hey,
I like this song.
Vague.
No, it's not bad at all.
Ugh. The singing's a little fruity, but
I don't have it. I don't have this song. I don't have a Gin Blossom CD.
You love these guys. Oh my God, Adam, you love them.
But I'm thinking back to this song in 1994, and I thought it's not a bad song. I didn't go out and buy it, but I thought there's nothing wrong with it.
Tiffany, you have some extra mousse? I want to look my best when we go to the Beta House tonight.
Easy.
Don't deny it.
Give me another wine cooler.
So easy. You know, I feel there's a little compensation going on with Shaq because he knows where he's from. You know what I mean? He comes from Beaver Falls. A lot of mullets, a lot of guys driving around in American trucks with lift kits and stuff. So you have to overcompensate with your hipster music and your Hollywood friends.
What in Pittsburgh, PA? Growing up, we listened to the Zep. We listen to the music of men.
All right. All right, let's do some hobo power.
So. Oh, I got a good hobo power
for you.
A hypothetical one based on last night. What if you had, what about Tony Soprano dead on the floor, Uncle Junior's floor? First of all, that place must stink because there's a senile old man living there, so the place stinks to begin with.
Right.
Then you have this fat load dead. What if nobody found him for a couple days there? And, you know, he expunges, you know, his bowels and it's filled with, you know, his meatballs and such.
It's good. It's just the problem is I don't think it was summertime. People seem to be dressed warmly, and that's all the difference in the world.
The temperature's
all the difference in the world. And as a matter of fact, I was thinking about old people, and really the demise of old people when it comes to the little apartments is the carpet. They have carpet. They shouldn't be allowed to have carpet. They should all have linoleum on the floor.
So they can slip?
So be it. At least they won't stink. we should do is take a hardwood floor, and we'll put some non-skid something on it, and that'll be that for the old folk. They shouldn't over 70 shouldn't be allowed to have carpet unless you have over 2,500 square feet. That'll be my rule when I'm in charge, because that's what's holding all the stink in. They have million-year-old drapes, they have old sofas, and then the carpet. Mm-hmm. The carpet becomes the stink petri dish. When I'm in charge, old people will have to have vertical blinds, okay, or horizontal. Either way, metal blinds. They'll have no carpet, and the furniture will just be wooden, but they'll allow no padding on it. And that way you'll walk in, it'll be like, eh, nothing wrong here. Old guy crapped in his pajamas. You still, you'll get nothing. It's the years and years and years of buildup with the cat and the smoking and the BO and all that stuff in the carpet, the sofa, and the drapery. That's where the stink resides. Speaking of stink, let's keep going with our hobo power. Who has a story, Tim?
Yes, I do.
What do you got?
Hey, I was an EMT down in Santa Barbara going to school.
Mm-hmm.
We get a call one night, and this guy must have been 70, 75 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Goes into his bathroom, take care of his daily duties. Well, he slips. He falls through the window, the shower windows,
mm-hmm.
and he slices himself from the hip to his upper left rib cage.
Mm.
Okay? We're talking 300 to 400 stitches, but mm-hmm. he defecates, and he's laying on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
We get the call. We go there. You know, we go in, PPE, you know, and we have to get in there, clean him up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're talking, he defecates, he's out there, he's holding his innards in his arms. He says, I think I made a mistake.
Mm.
Okay, so we have to clean him up, get him into the gurney, strap him in, and it took everything I had. What month is it now, or what month is it?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm disoriented. What year is it, for that matter? Who are you? Who are you two people?
Mama?
Yeah, what month does this happen in?
It happened in April.
In April. All right. And it's up around Santa Barbara, which is beautiful that time of year. It's just not hot enough. You know, the beach community does, you know, if this happened inland and happens in the desert, I'm going to, you know, in August, I will ratchet it up 10, 20 points. But now listen, there's also human factor, which unfortunately I can't factor in.
Mm-hmm.
It's ironic that I say factor and then say non-factor, but I would rather come across a dead body rather than a guy who's covered his own fecal matter and screaming and holding his guts in. At least the dead body, you can set a hold a rag over your face and take your time about it. But again, that can't be factored into the smell.
Was there any part of the bowel that was sliced open?
No, actually, that was the funny part. None of his bowels, but, you know, he released some tension.
Mm-hmm. Did you vomit?
Yes, I did.
Oh, you did? Okay, so that gets you up to mandatory 30. Okay.
It was all in our hands and our clothes. It was everywhere.
Okay, I'm going to give you a 41.
A 41?
Yes.
I'd be outraged, too.
You're arguing? You're arguing? Are you arguing with the 41?
It's going to lower.
Because now you just earned yourself a 40. You want to go for 39? Because that's the way I'll do it.
I'm not worthy.
Okay.
I'm not worthy.
All right. All right. I was this close to turning, downgrading you to the likes of one of those Christmas trees you hang off your rearview mirror. You want to keep going? I'm telling you, I am going to, when I have my kids, I am going to bring that back. I have not heard it in 30 years. That, you want to keep going? You want to keep, you have a 1 hour detention, my friend. 1 hour! Okay, now you have an hour and a half. You want
That's
to go for 2 hours?
Breakfast Club, yeah.
You want to go for 2 hours? I missed that part. That's when adults were adults. Jake?
Yeah.
You, oh, wait a minute. Somebody had a gopher blow up in their face. Kevin had a gopher explode in their face. Kevin?
Yes.
All right, let's talk hobo power. What happened?
I want you to rate my hobo.
All right.
I'm a pool guy. I do repairs and stuff in Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
I got called onto a job that has automatic pool vac in the pool, mm-hmm. and it wasn't working, so I pulled out. And what looks like a brown plastic bag, I can basically see through it.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like it was filled with something, but anyway, I figured I found the problem, so I grab it. It's like 110, and the water's probably 95 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
I grab this brown plastic bag, I pull it out, it bursts, and coats me with some oily, like, liquid. There was nothing solid in this gopher. It had been sitting in the bottom of the pool vac for 2 weeks, being mangled and sucked into the system, but it never made it through.
Crazy, grimy gopher guts. All over the face.
Oh, man. It went up my nostrils. I breathed it in. It was like an oil film. I dry heaved. I was sick all day. I ended up washing my hands and my face with a chlorine tablet.
That's the sort of smell that gets stuck in your nose, and you smell it
for
weeks everywhere you go.
I can smell a little bit of it every once in a while. I get a whiff of some strange odor, and it reminds me of Mickey Mouse.
So you actually cleaned your face with a chlorine tablet.
With a chlorine tablet. I was so
not quite as much as combing your hair with a wagon wheel, but it's up there. I guess it's the pool man's equivalent to that.
But it's either that or eating gopher oil.
So this thing had obviously drowned in the pool, got caught in the filter, and had been softened up by many days of hot water and chlorine consumption, right?
At least a week or two.
Now, you lifted it out with your hands, but how did it explode? It just burst open?
Well, it was partially stuck into the automatic pool cleaner, so it's like it got pulled up into the turbine and like wrapped around inside some of the parts, but the majority of it was still hanging out the bottom of the pool cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
So when I grabbed it, it's basically its tail or whatever. It just looked like a brown, you could see through this thing. It was like brown, clear plastic. I grabbed it, it just burst apart in my hand and just splashed.
All right. Well, let's see. You were, now here's a couple things I'm going to give you. That's disgusting. You're being slimed by the gopher. On the other hand, you know, more of a grotesque thing than a scent thing, I would argue. I mean, it couldn't have smelled good. You had a body of water in proximity to dunk your head into, which I would have done. The thing had been sitting in the water for quite some time. It was hot, I'll give you that. Boy, this is tough.
Let me just say this before you render final judgment. Yes. You always talk about proximity.
That's a good
to
point.
To the stench. You can't get closer than it covering your face and hands. And, by the way, any stench you get on you, imagine you can't wash it off. It would linger for hours, apparently, that he had to do that.
It's tough.
This has to be much higher than I know what you were originally thinking about. Think about it. It's on him and he can't get rid of it.
Well,
it's a marathon of stench.
But hold on a second.
He can't walk away from it. No matter where he goes, it's still on him.
The fact that it was in a body of water for a prolonged period of time does help in that if it was on the land, it would have maggots in it. It would be broken down, whatever essential juices and everything. Now, it broke open.
Oh, man.
I tell you, also, it's bad, but it didn't smell before it hit him, you know? And then when it hit, there's a gross out factor here that I would argue may be even higher than the hobo factor. You know what I'm saying? But just on a sheer stink, you know, it didn't smell before when he grabbed and reached into it, and then it smelled horribly, and then he cleaned himself off.
Maybe just that bag was
all right,
a good
I'm
seal
going,
on.
All right, I'll go. I'm feeling generous today. I'm going to go 53.
That's way higher than that.
Really?
I think so.
I was going to go with a 73.
I'll tell you why, because the smell isn't the worst part about this story. That's why in the hobo factor only measure stink.
I'm just picturing this guy, like, I would just start running, screaming, flailing my hands in the air.
It's the inability to get away from the stench.
That's why
it's on his person. It was with him for hours. Imagine.
That's why they only clean pools in porn, Rachel. Has there ever been a female? What's wrong? Why can't a chick clean a pool? There's no pool people that are chicks? What's wrong with that? Paying extra $50 a week, the chick came over. Pair of dolphin shorts. Yeah. All right, Kevin, I'm sorry. High 50s. Mid 50s.
Mid 50s.
Not bad. Look, I'm tough, but I'm fair. All right, you want 52? Okay. I didn't think so. We need to take a break.
Hobo power on the gin blossoms, by the way. Low 60s.
Jerry, please. Nothing wrong with that music. Jerry is here. He's our intern. He's going to do a little singing for us. Also, rock icon Gene Simmons coming in studio. Geez, I could still do... I'll finish up a couple hobo powers and we'll do some karaoke after this.
Hey, dude, this is Jorge Garcia from Lost, and you're listening to The Adam Carolla Show.
Is this Lick It Up?
Sure is.
The mastermind behind Lick It Up is going to be in studio, I guess, in about half an hour or so. Gene Simmons coming in. I think this is from The Unmask. This is when they took the makeup off.
Yep.
What a franchise. He'll gladly talk about how much money Kiss has made.
I met him once, and he shook my hand, and like he was giving me a tip. Mm-hmm. Like I was parking his car, he handed me a condom.
Really?
That's a Kiss condom.
Wow.
Yeah.
Made you hot, didn't it?
Hot means vomiting.
Oh,
no,
please.
I'm kidding.
You'd do him.
No, I wouldn't.
He's got juice.
Yeah. He's got Jews. No, he is
he's
a Jew.
Jews. Yes.
He's
got
Jew.
Jews. Yeah, it seems to me there's certain guys that certain women aren't proud to say they would bed down with. Gene Simmons may be one of them. I've never been with a woman who went, oh, yeah, he's hot. I'd gladly give it up to him. But yet, thousands of satisfied customers later, somebody's got to be opening their legs. You know what I mean?
I like how
actually, the guys who get laid the most are the guys women protest the most about. Like they would, oh, please, they start talking about Wilt Chamberlain or Gene Simmons or one of these classic, I'm trying to think of a word I can use, peahounds who seems to get more women than anyone else. And whatever woman or friends or female friends, you know, always say no, never with that guy. But yet they seem to find customers. Yes?
I can't remember what I was going to say.
So you wouldn't have sex with Gene Simmons?
No.
Well,
but
we'll
I
see.
Like how... Oh, we'll see. Maybe
we'll
today.
See.
Well, maybe today.
The morning is young.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, if you do, I will.
All right, I'll go first. So we'll do it at the same time. I think we can do it at the same time.
I think that would be actually like a lazy Sunday for him.
Just two of us?
Yeah.
Yeah, and especially with me, because I'm like getting it on with a tree sloth. You just hear me every once in a while go... Oh, yeah. That's all I muster.
But you're good at receiving it.
And nobody receives oral like me. How many times do I have to tell you people? Guys brag about how they do, you know, their equipment and what they'll do to a woman and how they'll rock their world. I tell a lady, you may rock my world. I receive better than anybody. I will hold still and give you the, oh, yeah, better than anyone. No one receives oral like the Ace Man. Ask anybody. Ask anyone.
Mike.
All right.
Who receives oral better than Adam?
No one I've been with.
No.
Thank you. And Mike, did we discuss this before? Are you being honest?
No, we didn't.
Okay. See that?
Just checking.
You see that? All right, Jerry, our intern, who I thought was gay until we went to Vegas, and Tad said he left the casino with an older woman. I don't know that much about Jerry. I'll tell you one thing I like about Jerry. He's half Mexican, full Mexican?
Full Mexican.
Full Mexican, but I wouldn't know it. I like that. The other, I know that sounded racist, but I like to not know. I like when somebody's full something and I don't know it.
He's got that Latin, I like Morrissey vibe about him.
Right. He's not in here with
I really
his.
Don't. That's the interesting thing.
His poncho and his huge
it's all right.
guitar.
You still have the Latin, I like Morrissey vibe.
Bouffant hairdo.
Yeah. Got a real Elvis look. And when I told, we learned a couple of weeks ago that Sheck had not ever had a taste of a pineapple upside down cake, the following morning Jerry had brings one in because his mother baked one and promptly gave Sheck a sample.
I thought that was a classy move.
It was.
Where was I?
That was the right move on your part.
You had some of the cake, I believe.
I did.
A lot of it, actually.
I did?
Yeah.
That's so weird. A cake I don't remember.
Wow. You may have been high. We brought it in. It was like 2 weeks ago. It's got a little circles of pineapple.
And
nice glaze. Well, it was sitting right out in the kitchen, and everyone seemed to have a bite. Jerry and
nice.
Rachel had more than one piece?
She had the lion's share of the cake.
Are you kidding me?
It was that good, apparently.
Yeah.
You just don't remember.
So weird. I must have still been asleep that day.
That means Jerry had consensual sex with you.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. You don't remember that?
I don't remember that party.
It was good. Right,
it
Jerry?
Was. It was great.
All right. Well, as long as it was all right.
And that's when I found out Jerry was straight. So Jerry was... so what happened in Vegas with the older woman in tan?
Well, where do I begin?
You met a chick?
No, it was at the Puddle of Mud.
Mm-hmm. You went to the concert.
And I think my original choice left early. And so I met up with two sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And we were hanging out. I think we went back to the Ghost Bar, went to Rain. And after that...
What do you mean your original choice left early? What the heck does that mean?
The chick he wanted to have sex with but wouldn't have sex with him left early.
Huh.
And well, then you, it
didn't
get,
even
you go
get
down.
To that point where we were negotiating the terms of, yes, we are going to sleep together. Didn't even...
Yeah, but you start the night with... It's sort of like the car you'd like to drive, but you can't afford. That's how you start shopping that way. I'm going to go look at the Jags and the Aston Martins. Eventually, you work your way down to the Kias. And here's what you want when you're going out to a club. You go into the club, and I think you will, let's be honest, whenever a single guy walks into a club, and probably a single woman too, you break the club off into thirds. Here's the group that I would love, that I would be excited to have sex with. It's not 33%. It's five chicks, it's 10 chicks, it's four chicks, whatever it is. But here's the group that I would love to go home with tonight. Here's the middle group. I would be satisfied. It would be a push. I wouldn't be doing them a favor. They wouldn't be doing me a favor. And then here's the bottom half. I would be doing them a favor if I went home with them tonight. That's how the club works. And depending on how good looking you are, how much juice you have, who you are, the group gets broken down across different lines. So the group that he wanted to sleep with and would have been lucky to bed went home, essentially.
Now
you're left with the middle or the bottom?
Middle to bottom, but I was so loaded at that point I could have gone home with circus clowns.
Right.
Yeah. But Jerry sort of fills a sort of a niche category himself with the bouffant hairdo, and he's got this continental flair / crip keeper kind of wardrobe that he yeah. wears. He wears the black blazer that's too tight, you know, and a tie sometimes, black ties. Strikes yeah. an interesting figure.
I know,
but
the niche category I used to think he filled was... in the ass.
Right.
I thought that was a niche category filled, but turns out he's straight. I like that. Yeah, but what were you saying?
There's a certain woman that goes for that look, you know, that...
You're not gay? Well, let's do this.
Right, yeah.
That's
right.
Pretty much the market I
He's very on. Slight, mm-hmm. Jerry is.
Right, right. So you went home with one of the lower categories, but you were so loaded it didn't matter.
Yeah, well, there was two of them,
mm-hmm.
and they were sisters, and I don't remember the sequence of events, but I just remember stumbling up to Tad,
mm-hmm.
and he was with the younger sister, for
mm-hmm.
the record,
mm-hmm.
Who was probably underage.
Mm-hmm. That's nice.
Wait. No. Catch as catch can.
Underage and overweight?
How dare you?
They were cute.
All right.
They were cute.
So they were cute?
Yeah, they were cute.
All right. Well, I thought they were down.
No. They were. I was heading toward that direction.
Toward that, and you ran into the two sisters.
Thank God.
Anything happen? Any sparks fly?
Yes, but no.
What's that mean?
Nothing happened.
Nothing happened.
No, I remember meeting up with Leo, and he bought
Leo the film freak.
He bought me a couple more drinks, and then after that, I don't think there was blood in my system. It was just pure Jack Daniels.
Okay, so you got loaded
and
passed out.
And he and
out.
Leo made some
You got loans. Nothing.
We did. He's a good-looking guy. I would.
Okay.
If I were gay, but I'm
so
not.
So nothing. Tad, you got nothing either?
No, I didn't get anything. I got my tattoo, and I went to bed.
Stop the presses. We got to talk about Tad's tattoo, too, because he got a horrible tattoo, but it was free.
It's not horrible.
It's not good.
Okay, yeah. Whatever. Tad, first of all, you wouldn't get... the Red Lobster logo tattooed on you,
whatever.
But you got that.
We wanted Tad to get the Red Lobster
this
logo.
This is a great looking tattoo.
There's nothing wrong with it, but you wouldn't get the Red Lobster tattoo.
Let me be fair to Big Tad. Big Tad found out that if he got the Red Lobster tattoo, that he couldn't be buried at the Caesar buffet. And that he spoke to some people at the hotel, and it's like a Jew in a cemetery. It's a long story, but that's his life stream, to be buried in the Caesar buffet.
How dare you.
In the ambrosia salad. All right, we need to take a break. We're running late. Big Tad, you didn't get laid. That's all we need to know.
No, I didn't get laid.
And we'll make fun of your tattoo in a moment. Jerry is here because Jerry needs to sing his karaoke. We're in month three on this show, and we still haven't got through the entire staff and the get-to-know-yourself karaoke song that everyone has composed. We'll do that. We'll do news. We'll do sports. We'll do it after this.
Good morning. It's Big Tad. Today on the Adam Carolla Show, rock icon Gene Simmons from Kiss. Karen, the hot sales girl. Actor Fred Goss from the new show Sons and Daughters will play Monday Morning Football with Howard Cosell.
Falconry, not my sport of choice, but preferred to Nordic rape and pillage.
The Ed reviews Desperate Housewives.
Chicken fingers, those are real good.
Our new show mascot, the Drunken Tree.
Adam!
I'm cold. And of course, Rachel's news and Dave's number one sports. This all on the Adam Carolla Show. Don't go anywhere.
Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Mm-hmm. Gene Simmons in the elevator, we hear, which sounds like a gay move. He's got Gene Simmons in the elevator. What'd you give him? Gave him the Dirty Sanchez, followed by the Gene Simmons in the elevator. Wow. That was a rough night. I guess he had it coming. So Gene Simmons in the green room. We'll bring him in right after this. Also, we need to finish up here with Jerry, our intern. It turns out drank too much and didn't get laid in Vegas. But the good news is he's not gay. What's that?
So how does that even happen?
How does that happen where you drink too much and you don't get laid?
Yeah.
I imagine it's happened before in your sexual career. Yes?
All right.
By the way, Jerry was supposedly inappropriately touching Rachel in the Vegas Strip.
Is that true, Rachel Perry?
Jerry, I think, was hitting on me on the weekend.
Why not? Yeah.
I think everybody tries to at least at some point in knowing you, right?
You, Jerry, for an intern, I've been meaning to say something. What was wrong with you on Thursday?
What happened?
Well, he was just being like, you're being creepy, dude.
Really?
Creepy.
Yeah.
Wow,
like,
okay.
You're like you're
like
being
stalker creepy.
Yeah, you're being a little
creepy.
Stalker creepy.
He was handsy.
And then yeah, you were like putting your hands on me. I'm like, dude, seriously.
Like hands or
do you remember me telling you like don't touch me?
Well, I was kneeling and I was going to fall over.
You were kneeling and you put your hand on my thigh.
Thigh? Okay, no, I don't remember the thigh at all.
Yeah, it happened and I told you stop it, and then you did it again.
Wow, this is fantastic news.
Let me jump in here. It's an announcement I gave to the table on Thursday night, actually Wednesday night, when we all went out and got loaded, ate dinner before we went to the Spearmint Rhino, which is get drunk all you want, get plastered, get heated, get in the bag, whatever you got to do. Don't get weird on me after you get juiced. That's the only thing I ask. Don't get loaded and pull me aside and tell me how you're funnier than I am, or don't get loaded and pull me aside and tell me how much we ought to team up, or then start crying and getting weird. Don't pout. I realize people get drunk. There needs to be, you know what? There should be classes in high school on how to get drunk and what to do when you're loaded, because everyone is going to get drunk, and people destroy their lives and the lives of others. They get into fights. They get DUIs. There's all sorts of things you get. I mean, people think you get DUIs because you're driving drunk. Yes, you're drunk, but you're driving like an a-hole. That's why you get the DUI. If you want to drive normally, you can drive drunk and not get pulled over, but you're driving like an a-hole. Or you're getting into domestic violence, or you're hitting on the news girl when you're an intern, or you're getting loaded. I mean, how many careers have been ruined at a company picnic when a guy tossed back one too many and had to go have a little meeting of the minds with the boss? Give him a few ideas on some of his policies. Give him a few pointers on how to run his company. How much damage gets done? The first rule of getting drunk I would have in my class, my drunk 101 class in high school, is when you're drunk, only talk to other drunk people. Because when you talk to sober people, you're going to come across like a jackass no matter what. There's no way you can tolerate other, when you're sober, you can't handle drunk people. So that's number one. And then number two, don't do anything weird that's going to get talked about, especially if you're doing morning radio. Jerry.
I was sober. This is Mike. I was sober in Vegas, and Rachel, who had a little bit, talked my ear off about chicken fingers and how great chicken fingers were.
Yeah.
Listen.
There's nothing wrong with saying the chicken fingers are good. And it was specifically the Palms chicken fingers. I ate nothing but Palms chicken fingers the entire time I was there. They're so good.
And you drank nothing but whiskey.
Well, no. She drank vodka.
Yeah.
Oh, it was vodka.
Tequila.
Tequila.
No, the last thing I remember concerning Rachel was the tequila shot you took and the Jack Daniels shot I took.
All right.
Well, so, let me just say this. You got off easy, Rachel Perry, because Angie, the producer, was so drunk that she was, in fact, licking me.
Wow.
You mean on what night?
I was tongued.
like
Wednesday night.
Like millions of women who have laid down with Gene Simmons.
I had to put her to bed, and I had to put her to bed after taking her to a room in a wheelchair.
Producer Angie literally had to be put in a wheelchair and transported from the cab to her room at the Palms. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people get put in a wheelchair to be taken out of the building. But not into the room.
It was awesome.
She started tilting them at LAX. I bought a few rounds for everybody in the sports bar, and she drank a couple of 20-ouncers or 24-ouncers. Boom, tall boy, straight back. Then started boozing when we got to the Palms. Then we went out to dinner, put a few more back. That's when I gave my drunk speech. And then we went to the Spearmint Rhino, and she was plastered. And then did that thing to me where she pulled me aside. You know, when people get really loaded, they need to talk to you urgently about nothing. Adam. I was in a conversation with some guy from Land Rover or something. He pulled me aside, pulled me into the kitchen, and said, I got a car waiting. We're going to get out of here. I'm like, I've been here for 6 minutes. I've not gotten a lap dance yet. I'm not going anywhere.
Did she really do that?
Yes, she did.
That's awesome.
Yes, as it turns out, I left a short 7 hours later.
Then she licked me.
I've got a picture of her in the wheelchair on my phone. I feel like if it's all right with Angie, we should put it on the website. It's classic.
All right.
No shoes.
Please, I would like to see that. Jerry, now, because we're running behind, you're going to sing your Get to Know Yourself karaoke song. Yeah, I think we know you're an alcoholic and you're sexually inappropriate with people you work with. But what don't we know about you? Well, you're Mexican and your mom bakes pineapple upside down cakes. But what else?
Now you know that I'm not gay.
Right.
I don't know. I like to remain as mysterious as possible, or creepy.
Done and done.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Ugh. Where's the meat of the song?
I'm Jerry Herrera, 24 years old. I work as an intern for the Adam Carolla Show.
Ugh, it sounds like a poltergeist. It's haunting us with this horrid version of the song.
Oh, yeah. It's not that bad.
No, it's all good. Right. Keep going.
It's the nervousness that makes it.
I'm getting sweaty.
You're doing good.
Keep that to yourself.
Keep going.
Escort the guests up. Read all the email. Experience this process so far. Can't wait till I play Ask His Rodeo.
This isn't even...
Jerry the intern. My hair is gargantuan. Jerry the intern. They say my hands are feminine.
Oh my god.
I've had all I can do.
I'm glad Gene Simmons is outside though, so I can hear the step aside Paul Stanley.
Yeah.
Kiss has a new front man.
All right.
A powerful voice.
You see, and then we say, you know, people always say to me, you know, Carolla, don't be such a snob. Get to know the staff. But you see what happens?
Yeah.
It's
not working out the way
it's scary, it's disappointing.
Been,
yeah. Then they want to borrow money.
Well, I apologize to everybody for exposing you.
No, it wasn't bad. It was fine. All right, Jerry, get your mom to bake us another cake and you'll be good.
Okay.
All right.
Did you hear that, Mom?
Leave Rachel alone.
No wonder Rachel fell for him so hard, though, with that voice.
All right. Jerry the intern, nice work. Now,
thank you.
It is time for his beautiful crush to do her
his
news.
Music.
I don't even go there. He told Brusca's wife that I reminded him of his ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
Creepy.
Really?
Democratic Senator Russ Feingold, a potential White House contender, wants to censure Bush over his domestic eavesdropping policy. Yeah. Former Serbian leader... Slobodan Milosevic.
Let me say this. I'll say this one more time. As far as the NSA and the eavesdropping and all that kind of stuff, who cares? I was in my kitchen this morning at 5 thinking about this. I don't care if they hear what I have to say or what I think. I don't care if they put anything in my brain.
Of course not, but the point of Feingold is that he is...
he's ignoring the Constitution. Certainly, we should still be listening to people.
Who cares? So. Here's the biggest thing you have to worry about. They take about a third of your paycheck every week, every month. You make $100, they get $35. That's an issue we need to focus on.
And then fail to spend that money to save people who are drowning.
Right. Meanwhile, we can't find a levee or a school. That's right. That's what we need to focus on. Then we'll get to the eavesdropping. Go ahead.
Okay. Slobodan Milosevic died on the weekend of an apparent heart attack, but now they've found drugs in his system that show that he was trying to make himself sick.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so that he could get out of it, and the UN war crimes prosecutor keeps saying he has these convenient illnesses. Well, yeah. Serves you right.
Yeah.
Now you're dead.
Good. And where was he getting drugs? He was in jail. How's that work?
What do you mean? That's the easiest place to get drugs. Know, you want drugs, you go to jail.
That's not Rikers Island. This is The Hague, which would be a great name for a sports bar. Hey, we're going down to The Hague. Phillies are playing. Yeah. 2-for-1, Papa Shot competition and Dollar Draft beers. Down at The Hague. Yeah. I don't even know where The Hague is, but that's where we put you when you're a real criminal.
It's a good word. Yeah. Adam, it's a good word. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony is happening tonight at New York's Waldorf Astoria. The Sex Pistols, one of the bands that are to be inducted. And Johnny Lydon, says this.
We're not coming. We're not your monkey. And so what?
Good. They suck anyway. I know. Yeah, I know it seems cool to say how cool they are and everything, but who cares?
Legends.
Really. Yeah, legends.
Legends.
Yeah, it's what you call timing. Right place at the right time.
And, of course, The Sopranos season premiere last night where this happened. There you go.
Yeah, he was shot. It's nice when there's music from the Victrola playing in the background.
It makes
everything sort of surreal. Yeah, shocking. Will he make it? We don't know until next week.
Sounds like Lucy got into more hijinks based on that clip.
It doesn't sound like a very glamorous shooting, right?
Uncle Junior popped him.
Yeah.
Tony has avoided the gun, the bullet of so many rivals.
By accident?
He's felled by Uncle June.
Was it an accident or was it on purpose? I didn't watch it.
Well,
you didn't see it.
I had a very important thing that I had to do yesterday, and I was busy.
She had to help intern Jerry blow off a little steam. He built up a little sexual tension.
It's a little more depressing
than
that, and I'm not going to talk about it on the radio.
He shot him. He was suffering from dementia the whole thing, so he didn't shoot him like he thought he was Tony Soprano. He shot him like he thought he was some
a guy who had actually died. It was his rival.
He didn't know what he was doing. In other words,
Tony said, "Uncle Jew yelled down the stairs, 'Who's there?'" You know, and Tony shouted the name of a guy who had died several years ago who Uncle Jew had a thing with.
Is that what your nieces call
you? He came downstairs. What's that?
Uncle Jew? Nothing. Never mind.
Wow.
I'm Rachel Perry, and that's the news for now.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Uncle Big Nose is what they call him.
Oh, sorry.
NCAA tourney time has arrived. First round gets going on Thursday. If you were living in a cave yesterday or getting emotionally prepared for The Sopranos or doing whatever Rachel Perry was doing, the committee announced the seedings yesterday. It's one of the greatest TV events for a true sports fan. Number one seeds went to Duke, UConn, Villanova, Memphis. UCLA came out nice. They're a number two seed, also from the Pac-10. Cal's a 7 seed, Washington's a 5, and Lute's boys from Arizona. They play Wisconsin in an 8-9 matchup coming up later in the week, like I say. World Baseball Classic, U.S. came back yesterday to beat the Japan team 4-3. A-Rod, Alex Rodriguez, base hit in the bottom of the ninth. But a scandal. Apparently, the U.S. Did you see this?
They got jobbed.
The ump, he reversed the call.
Yeah, Japanese got jobbed. I hate to say it because, I like to see U.S. team win. But they did that thing where the guy tagged up from third base. They called the protest. They threw the ball to third base. They said he left early and they punched him out. And that happened to me in high school 2 times, by the way. You realize look, if the other team scores a winning run by tagging up, or just say the guy missed first base, what can you? It's all you can do. It's all you can do as the opposing team, either that or you lost the game. And half the time, the ump's not watching, and they'll just punch him out because they'll assume you saw something that they didn't see. Obviously, they weren't watching.
Yes, I agree. That was a terrible call. And it reminds me, actually, of a time when I was in high school, and in a high school game, Little U's, the reserved outfielder, mm-hmm. Dave Damashek, was playing one of the crummy teams, so I got to play at the end of the game. And first of all, the coach from third base, he gave me the bunt sign. Mm-hmm. And I said, all right. So I was ready to lay down a bunt.
I'm clairvoyant. Did he go to his belt buckle?
I believe so.
That's always the bunt. Go to the belt buckle, but look for the indicator.
So he gives me the bunt sign because he knows I have blazing speed
and
wants me to lay it down. So I make the bunt sign. Hey, he gives me the bunt sign. Then he calls timeout, and he walks. He meets me halfway down the third baseline. He says, you know, I just gave you the bunt sign. Yeah, I know what it is. Just because I'm never in the games doesn't mean I don't know what the signs are.
The man scored a 50 on the Wunderlich. I think he knows what the bunt sign is.
So I do that, and I get aboard. Not only do I move the runner along, but I also get on base, and I move the second base. Then, with two outs, there's a sharply hit ball to left field. Mm-hmm. I decide I'm going all the way. I'm scoring the winning run. We're down a run. The guy on third base, he scores the tying run. I come around from third base. I use my speed, my grit. My gumption.
Sure.
I score the winning run. Celebration. I'm on cloud nine. One of the great moments in my sports history. The coach comes up to me after the game. He said, if you would have done what you were supposed to, if the left fielder would have done what he was supposed to do, you would have been out by a mile.
Wow.
Thank you, sir.
Real with fundamental ball. Let me tell you about my story. As long as we're telling high school baseball stories. I was playing over at North Hollywood High. I'm standing out in right field, and I got a crazy bloody nose. Weird dry heat. Kind of valley day. Sometimes the little veins in your nose just pop, and it's because it's so dry or because you've done so much blow in your 10th grade year. Either way, I'm wearing the white uniform, white Huskies uniform, and the blood's just pouring down my nose. I'm standing in right field. I didn't know what to do. So I took a wrapper that I found out in right field. I mean, I didn't call timeout or anything. I just took like a Three Musketeers candy bar wrapper that had been blowing out onto the field, and I rolled it up and I shoved it into my nostrils, and I sat out there for the next few outs, and then I was due up first the next inning. My nose would not stop bleeding, but in baseball sucks. You get up three or four times a game, and that's about it for the 3 hours you're there, so I wasn't going to miss my time at bat. So I shoved some more wrappers up my nose, and I was going up, and they said, oh, go to the locker room and get it taken care of. And I said, nah, I can bat. And I got two strikes on me and two pitches, and I thought I should go into the goddamn locker room. And the third pitch, I just cracked one into left field, into the alley, and we had no field. We had no fence in left field, and the ball just kept going and going, and I scored a home run. And as I was being cheered at home plate, and the team was going nuts with the blood pouring down the uniform and everything,
Glory.
I saw him throw the ball to third base, and the guy punched me out, which I stepped on. And what kind of coach with a man bloodied face would throw the ball to third base? Anyway, went down, goes down in the books as a double, by the way. So, I did not get the home run. I still went to the locker room, and I had the bloody nose. The following game, we were at Fairfax High, just up the street from where we are, and George Espinoza was coaching first base. Same ball, same hit, left alley. Rounding first base, he was laughing, saying, don't forget to miss first base. I got a stand-up triple, and then, to my shock, horror, and disbelief, saw the ball go to first base. Punch me out. Again, the next game. Inexplicably, they must have heard Espinoza say, don't miss first base or something. I stepped right in the middle of it. That goes down in the book as an out, by the way. The stand-up triple goes down as an out because you're out at first base. And that was it. That's my story of being punched out and bloody nose. And you know what? I never picked up a bat after that. Only in anger.
I was really hoping that the story ended with you with the blood all over you, rounding third base and just getting lightheaded and passing out just a couple feet from home.
I wish it would have happened because I would have got a triple instead of a double.
That's true. That's a good point. All right, quickly. Because Gene Simmons awaits.
Yes.
Big news for the Arizona Cardinals. Their four fans must be ecstatic because they signed one of the best running backs in the NFL yesterday, the Edgerrin James of the mighty Indianapolis Colts. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about, thanks to his gold teeth that he has that mouth, combined with the sun the hot sun of Arizona. It's going to be a great new weapon for him.
Right.
Look out, defenders. You're going to get a ray of sun in your eye, and then you're going to get steamrolled by Edgerrin James.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
All right. Gene Simmons is waiting in the wings. He's going to be in just a second. Hey, Keith.
Yeah.
You've been on hold for an hour to say you like the gin blossoms?
Well, yeah.
All right. Noted. We were arguing before that. Dave didn't like them. I said they were fine.
Can't wait to hear what Gene Simmons thinks about your gin blossoms.
I don't have a gin blossom CD. I was only defending them and that they weren't bad. All right, Mr. Cool with your Mighty Mouse. We'll take a quick break. Gene Simmons here after this.
You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Gene Simmons in studio. Thank goodness I just TiVo'd a whole A&E biography on Gene Simmons that I watched every second of. Serendipitously, about a week ago, I saw it on, I think it was A&E, or maybe Biography Channel or something like that. But
learned
so much about Gene Simmons.
The powerful and attractive Gene Simmons.
I was about to, you're reading, oh, and a mind reader, because I was thinking that, but I didn't want it to come across too gay. But,
no, that was the other guy that was in here with the gummy bears.
That's right, Jerry, sexually confused intern. Yeah, Gene, I learned from watching this biography, is quite the entrepreneur and enjoys being the entrepreneur.
The man has 8 reality shows right now.
That's right.
No, not necessarily. They're not all reality.
Oh, okay.
There's My Dad the Rockstar, which is a cartoon show I created on Nickelodeon and 24 other countries. There's Gene Simmons Rock School, which is on VH1.
Love that show.
Second season coming up soon. There's another one called Gene Simmons Family Jewels, which is coming on A&E this summer. Very exciting. Mr. Romance on Oxygen, which was a woman's show. Baby 101, which is going to be coming up soon. Lots of stuff.
Yeah.
And a Partridge in a
This one is 7 shows, 8 shows. Also, I'm reading here Discovered Van Halen, which I had never heard of before. Obviously, Van Halen is out of Pasadena, right?
Yeah.
And you were living out in Southern California at the time, or
no,
you just heard a demo tape?
I came to visit, and I saw them at the Starwood.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually came to see the opening, the headline band, which was a group called The Boyz, B-O-Y-Z-Z, and this opening band got up on stage, and I was immediately struck by it. And actually, if you buy the New York Times bestseller, Kiss and Makeup by Gene Simmons,
mm-hmm.
it'll tell you all about
what
it.
What year are we talking about?
Mid-70s? 77.
Later 70s?
77, yeah.
I'll
make it a little bit later than middle.
All right. But it could have been early 77, which would have made it just, you know, months past 75.
You're a powerful and attractive man.
Thank you. That's like couples. Does that mean two, or does that mean two or three or
but
four?
Those are semantics, and I'm not really anti-semantic.
Yeah. Speaking of that, I got places to go with you. I just wanted to relate a quick story to people. After our show we did in Vegas, the band Van Stone, third bass band out of the Palmdale area, played, and the guy who played the guitar for Van Stone was saying to me, "Must be weird for you to be going up against David Lee Roth. He's over there in New York. You're out here in L.A. You're both vying for Howard Stern's, you know, control of the universe. That's got to be weird growing up idolizing a guy, now competing with him head to head." And I said, "Well, I didn't grow up idolizing the guy." "Yeah, but a huge Van Halen fan." Anyway, I realized he was speaking for himself because he was in a rock band and a huge Van Halen fan. I explained I was a passing Van Halen fan and enjoyed their work, but didn't grow up.
But a big Gin Blossoms fan.
Oh, please. All right, that's another day and another story. So, Gene, it says here, and it's also something I discovered watching your biography, which was you're born in Israel.
I don't look Swiss, do I?
No, you are swarthy, as
they
say.
I am a swarthy guy.
And you, and I guess you're recognized a lot now. That didn't used to happen in the past.
I don't care.
No, but
it never was an issue either way.
For the first, 15 years of Kiss.
Oh, yes. We wore makeup all the time, wouldn't let our faces be seen, you know, the whole mystique thing. Yeah, that's true.
Did that go on for 10 or 15 years?
Oh, yes. Through the, I would say, about 84 when we finally took it off to show people how stunningly good looking we are.
Now, wait a second. So how are you getting all the women at this point? Are they coming? Are they groupies coming backstage and you're still in makeup?
All the girls know that I have a spin and dry cycle and I can whip up a good goddamn froth. So the swarthy guy, who, wow. she's got the good looking boyfriend, but only I can take her to heaven.
Mm. I don't know what that means, but
means I got a long tongue. Bitch.
I see.
Yeah, now that's the other thing. That tongue, that's your ID. I mean, back in the makeup, the Kiss makeup days,
no, if someone did,
no. What I mean is I'm answering Dave's question, which is if they didn't know who you were, you just shoot them the tongue,
right.
And they can do the math.
No, they would know if they were in the vicinity. They would know,
right. Give us a little shot of that.
Oh, I would, except the floor's a little dirty.
Oh.
Hey-o.
Let me see.
Gene is taking a shining to Rachel Perry,
Gene's
by the way.
He's looking at me like he's going to kill me right now.
No,
I don't,
he's not.
No, that's not.
Where I come from, that's not kill.
He's putting the look on you.
No.
Yes.
What kind of Canadian look is it when the guy looks at the girl? What are you doing? Oh.
Just put. Gene's taking a zipper
Gene
down.
Gene Simmons, here's my question to you. Have you had more women in the makeup or out of the makeup?
Out.
Is that right? By a lot?
Sure. I mean, there have been some women who prefer the...
They like it when you get
dressed
up. So
it's not post-shots, because I would imagine there's a lot of groupies. You still got the makeup on backstage kind of thing.
Some of that. But, you know, I like to take my time peeling the grape.
Mm-hmm. I see. I
don't you?
I do. And now you're putting the look on.
Dave Davishek seems to have taken a shine to Mr. Simmons.
You don't want
a
hit and run. You want the girl later to say, ah, breathless.
When you're right,
you have to take your time, set the mood, and then brutally mount her. Just kidding.
Wow. Is all right. Many, many things. So first off,
watch out with the touching me. You know what happened to the intern.
How long have you been in America?
Like 4 or 5 years.
Because the rules apply here.
This is how we do it. Yeah, rock stars are allowed to sleep with who they want over here.
Oh.
You can let it. You can let loose.
You know, we were having an argument earlier. I said that I wouldn't sleep with you, but hey, what the hell? Let's go to the green room.
I don't want to sleep.
Oh,
magic.
I love napping.
There's no cuddling allowed.
I will tell you, Rachel, we just got back from Vegas, and it reminds me of that story again where I wanted to go see Siegfried and Roy, obviously, and coincidentally with David Alan Greer, who we just heard there, and everybody laughed at me, but I said, one day these guys are going to be gone, and you're going to want to say you saw them, and turns out one of them was attacked by a tiger a few weeks later, and they are gone. You will say the same thing about Gene Simmons one day. You will be lamenting the fact that you did not sleep with Gene Simmons when you have grandchildren. You understand?
I had my chance.
That's what I'm saying.
If only I could turn, you know, they say no regrets in life, but...
He's not going to be humping forever. Probably another 40, 50 years, and that's about it. I'm saying you got to make hay while the sun shines.
I'm
Well, like I said, after you, Adam. You're the star of the show. You go first.
All right. When you're done doing me, then you'll do Gene.
But is it true what they say?
Yes.
Two guys are talking and two girls are talking, and the guy says to his friend, you know, I've got a blind date for you. So his friend says, what does she look like? So two girls are talking. You know, I've got a blind date for you. And she says, what does he do?
Right. Mm. That's right.
Own up to it.
That's
Don't
right.
Play, I'm from Canada. You know where we come from? Bull. Same rules apply on planet Earth.
I think it's moose, but yeah.
True or not.
Yes.
What? I don't know. What are you trying to say? That I only want to date someone because of what they do?
We're not talking about date.
He wants you to have sex with him.
Because...
No, I wasn't actually...
Yeah, well, how does your wife or
no wives allowed.
All right, I'm sorry.
Yeah, he doesn't have a wife, but you've been with the same woman.
I've been happily unmarried to the same girl 22 years.
A Shannon Canadian.
Tweed. She is a Canadian.
Yeah.
Now isn't that a common law wife?
No, you need a cohabitation agreement which supersedes and nullifies all laws of the land.
He's looked into this.
He's also reading the little quarterback wristband he has that has all this stuff on it. Smart.
No,
you guys live together, right?
That's right. We have two great kids, straight A students.
So
and
you
all
do
that stuff.
Cohabitate
all the time. I just left her in bed.
But doesn't that mean you're common law then?
No, it doesn't. You need that cohabitation agreement, which says you can stay here if you want to, and if you don't, it should be about life. It should be about choices.
And you get to have sex with strangers on the road?
All men and all women get to do whatever the hell they want in life. The only choice you have is whether or not you're going to lie about it. So every guy, every salesman who's married goes on the road and says, 11 o'clock, let me see, I love Lucy reruns or the strip club.
Right. and they masturbate to I Love Lucy.
Oh, masturbate. That's too long of a word for me.
You don't do that. You don't need to do that.
No, I don't.
When was the last time you did?
He uses his tongue.
Masturbate? Honest to God.
Really?
Oh, probably under a year.
Wow.
Wow, like,
do you even know?
You have that much sex.
Wow. Is it that?
Don't you?
Well, I don't know. Sometimes I just like to do it myself.
Yeah. Do you even touch your penis when you go number one, or is that for, do you have a lady who does that? Because that's when you've arrived. When you don't even handle your own junk. Not only do I not masturbate, I won't take it out of my pants.
I have to tell you the God's honest, well, I can't tell that story because Stevie will be very upset. But there was a story once. I was in Electric Lady Studios.
Yes, tell us.
And I was doing a number two, so I was quiet because we never want anybody to hear it.
Sure.
Get a little blumpkin.
And somebody came
in. Unless you're sampling.
And somebody came in who, whose eyesight...
Stevie Wonder?
I'm not saying.
And I heard Stevie.
There was a young lady who helped him point.
Oh, really? Yeah. And actually held on to his...
Wow.
That's a king. That's a king.
Wow.
You do nothing, just point me in the right direction. In fact, I feel like going now.
Actually held it and pointed it toward the urinal.
I went back to...
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen, I'm hungry now. Let's go get a burger.
All right. Let's take a break. So what have we learned? Gene, entrepreneur,
well,
Jewish?
Here's the main entrepreneur thing. You should log on to IndyCar.com or GeneSimmons.com because Simmons Abramson Marketing just took over the Indy Racing League merchandising, licensing, branding, marketing worldwide. And you got to come down to the races. We're on ABC and ESPN, seen in 200 countries. These are the fastest cars on Earth, 220 miles an hour.
Talking Indy.
Indy.
Yeah.
NASCAR's cool.
Yeah, Indy's
cool.
Better.
Indy's faster, cooler. Dan Weldon. First race is in right outside of Miami in about 2 or 3 weeks. Watch us on ABC, and we're going to be out there. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be in Indy mid next week. Carmelo Anthony, NBA Nuggets star, is going to be there with us for a big announcement.
Well, you think open wheel racing, you think Carmelo Anthony. Well, I mean, that's the first image that comes to mind, an eight-foot black man.
You got
to
think big. I know this room is small in here, but outside there's a big
world. It's getting hot, too, with the tension between you and Rachel Perry.
Not at all. Not at all.
All right. Well, she's a tough nut to crack. You give her a few shots, and she goes off like a dreidel.
Like Hepburn and Tracy, these two.
Yeah. We'll take a quick break.
Give me some tequila. Break.
Gene Simmons here, and we'll be right back with more Gene and you after this.
You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Gene Simmons is here. He's in a little indie band called Kiss. How much do you think Kiss has done in merchandising over the years, Gene? Do you have any idea?
Well, actually, historically, and if you don't mind me beating my chest here, listen. We actually have done more cent for cent, dollar for dollar, than any band in history. More.
Oh, yeah.
2,700 licenses and merchandising things everywhere from Kiss condoms to Kiss caskets.
So what does that mean? So you personally are worth what? $100 million?
Okay.
More?
So.
More.
No, I mean, if you say so, then
more.
Well, here's the thing about...
Why don't you say so?
I'd say more. Because Gene, first off, Gene has no vices other than the ladies.
That's not a vice. Biologically, that's exactly what we're designed to do.
I didn't mean like bad habit. My wife, I think of as a shop vice.
I'm sorry, physical venge vice,
crushing the life out of me. Vice.
What was that term again?
A vice, my wife, yes. Oh. Yes, I'm a married man, and
the
I look at her as a bench
vice.
The
only vice I know is vice. The other stuff I don't know.
If you could break into that right now, I would say this man has
that
range.
That would be something, yeah.
Little Sound of Music. So, you've not spent a whole lot of money in your life. I mean, divorce. Here's the number one thing that'll kill a guy is probably divorce. When it comes to super rich guys parting with their money, right?
Any guy would ever do is, first of all, we realize as young males of the species that our blueprint says we're going to be manufacturing billions of sperm every single day. We can't take Thursdays off. The female of the species knows that when she's born, she manufactures all the eggs she will ever have in her lifetime. And she makes one or two per month.
Mm-hmm.
And the only problem the male of the species and the female of the species have with each other ever since we crawled out of the ooze we were both created from is that the female of the species has deluded herself into believing that all his billions of sperm are just for her.
Yes, but here's
and
the thing.
I want to say this. I would like to share my sperm, except for the days when the uterine lining is sloughing off, as long as we're talking technical biology here, if you know what I mean.
But it has to do with, even if you're in love with your beloved, mm-hmm. it's, you know, we're visually stimulated, and I don't want to tell anybody anything they don't know, but every woman knows what I'm saying is true.
Let me explain the genius of Gene Simmons, not only in the marketing of Kiss, but the marketing of his own testicles. He's done, that's the greatest, his greatest marketing feat thus far has not been the band Kiss, it's been his own genitalia and how he markets that. He did the thing, we talk about this all the time, it's like what Snoop Dogg did with pot. Snoop Dogg wants to smoke pot and can smoke pot wherever Snoop wants to smoke pot because he is Snoop Dogg. If I fired up a joint in the green room over at Kimmel, I'd be dragged out of the place. Snoop can do it, it's no big deal. Snoop can do it at the airport, Snoop does it where he wants. Gene has done the same thing for his genitalia. He's announced to the world, this is who I am, this is how I work. He's announced it to Shannon
male.
Tweed. He's announced it to everybody.
That's right.
The rest of us are pretending like we're not this
way. Every woman complains that none of the guys tell her the truth. You should always tell the truth. In business, it's called full disclosure before the fact. So you should look into the eyes of your beloved and say, I desire you with every inch of my being, but I want your mommy and your sister too. As long as you get that out of the way, then you're fine.
Yeah, smart. I should have done it with pot and sex.
No, it's good. I appreciate the fact that Gene is so honest about those things. How did you
appreciate it?
No, it doesn't mean that I want a part of it. I'm just saying I think it's really I think it's admirable.
Yes.
That you are honest and open about that. But how did you come to that? Is my question. Like, at what point in your life?
When I was a little kid, I never had a girlfriend. The first girlfriend I ever really had was in around 1978. I met Cher. We moved in together. That was the first honest-to-God girlfriend I ever had.
I forgot about that.
Up until then.
Cher was my first girlfriend, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Up until then, I wasn't interested in the game. The game is, you know, I'm going to get my claws in him. He's a catch. All that language infers, I didn't create the language, it infers one thing. We don't want to be committed. Get that through your head.
But fellas can't get away with that. Like,
you gotta
Clooney,
be in a band.
That avoids the issue, which is the truth of it. Either it's true or not. When women complain that men can't commit, it's because it's true.
Okay, but are you speaking for all men? Because I happen to know a few men in this room that are married.
You will never know men.
No,
you
I happen
never understand
to know
what
that
goes
the men
through.
In this room are married.
You may taste them, but you'll never know them.
No, I'm just saying that a technical fact is that, I mean, Dave, you just got married.
They settle.
And I mean, I hope your
men
beautiful
settle.
Wife is not listening.
Oh, stop.
Would you live the life of Gene Simmons had you the choice?
No, I found my soulmate, so of course I wouldn't.
Wow.
She's your best friend.
Let me explain what happened. She found a radio. That's why he has
explained. Let me tell you something.
He found
his soulmate. If he doesn't say that,
yes,
you're dead.
No, but
look
here,
at him smile.
I happen to feel very lucky that I found her.
And I too. And I found the girl of my dreams, Shannon Tweed, who I've been together with for 22 years. And the reason it's a dream is because she doesn't do what every other woman does. Where are you going? Where are you going? Who wants to know? The last time I checked, the only one who ever had that right gave me birth. That's my mother.
So, Gene, would you agree you have two children, right?
Fantastic.
And
my son Nick is 6'7". He's 17, and my daughter is 5'9".
Yeah.
Sophie,
but
she's 13. She's the apple of my eye.
Obviously, the intact family unit
is
advantageous for the kids. Now, a lot of people can't have a family unit like you have.
They can.
And go out and play the field like you do.
They can do whatever they want because people do it anyway. The difference between me and all the rest of you guys is all of you lie.
That's
my wife will kill me if she finds out that blah, blah, blah. All you guys say that. I never say that. There's nothing to hide. Here's who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Because ultimately, there's no one to answer to.
But it's because you're a celebrity, though. Yes. You and George Clooney get away with it. You're different, obviously, people. But you can do that.
But my point is, not that some people do it, some people don't. We have the same DNA. You and I and Adam and everybody here has the same DNA.
Yeah.
Either you ignore
except
the
for Jerry, the intern. I'm not sure about his DNA.
And I think it's okay. I think there's much ado about nothing. This whole thing is biological. Women have this biological clock, and it's neither good nor bad. It just is. By the time they're 40, you know, they go nuts. Got to get a guy, got to get my egg, and blah, 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 blah. We're just happy. You know, every day we're above ground. We never think about it because our sperm is good for our entire life. In fact, it's good even after we're dead for an amount of time.
I know that. That's why I want to ask you guys for a favor after I pass.
Pass on your
seat. Going to need one final fling.
After you're dead.
Yes, just quickly, though. I don't want powder to come out. I want to be like talcum.
But let me just add the following.
Yes.
You really can't argue with the following point. If you log on to IndyCar.com
mm-hmm.
or GeneSimmons.com, you will find the fastest cars on Earth, and that's why I'm here. I'm here to shill for Indy because I believe in it. In fact, I co-wrote a song called I Am Indy, which you can find on IndyCar.com, which is the
campaign. This is how he got to be worth $280 million.
Because he will come on
now?
And talk about racy subjects and then drop in a website.
We need to take a break. I want to talk
to... Why is it racy? It's honest.
No, racy was the
wrong
word.
I'm sorry. Let me say it this way. Flowers and beautiful music. That's not how we talk.
We need to take a break. Gene Simmons here. He managed Liza Minnelli, which I did not know about, which I would like to talk to him about, but we will do it after this.
Hey, where do you think you're going? There's still more to come on The Adam Carolla Show. Actor, writer, and director. This guy does it all. Fred Goss from the new show, Sons and Daughters. We'll catch up with our friend, the Ed.
Chicken fingers, those are real good.
The always sexy Taryn the Sales Girl. And not nearly sexy, our mascot, the Drunken Tree.
Adam Carolla.
It's all on the way on The Adam Carolla Show.
You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Gene Simmons in studio.
Hey, is that our version of Hard Luck Woman, or is that with... Oh, no, that's Peter. We did a tribute album called Kiss My Ass that had Garth Brooks singing that version.
Oh, really?
And we had Lenny Kravitz and Stevie Wonder and just a lot of cool people doing it.
I miss Beth. I got to tell you, I heard a little bit of Beth, the Kiss ballad, a few nights ago. I don't know, it was on a movie or
Adam,
a TV show
Adam,
or something. I missed that
song.
You got
to get out in the world and see what's going on.
I really do.
You got to leave this studio. Come on out. As a matter of fact, come to Homestead in about 2 weeks for the first Indy race. Now, that would be a thing. First race of the new season. Then, of course, within two or three races, we're going right to the Indy 500, the largest live event on planet Earth. And
I'm lost in Beth. I'm sorry.
All right.
He's talking to his old lady. Him and the boys are out.
And you know
what
he says? Coming home.
He's not coming home.
Me and the boys are playing.
No, they can't get the sound right. You guys are in the studio. You're not getting laid.
That's our. Oh,
can't
yes,
find
we
the sound.
Are. That's where you do it, baby.
Oh, really?
Of course.
That's the way to go. Yeah, you're like Jim Morrison laying down a vocal track.
I can't believe, by the way, that the phone lines aren't lighting up. The odds say you've been with how many women? 18 million?
You know, you guys.
One of them must be out there listening. I'd like to hear their side of how they were wooed by you.
Okay, I'd like that, too.
All right. Keith?
Yeah, hey,
here's one of them now.
You ever been with Gene, Keith?
Yeah, I was wooed by Gene Simmons.
Do you have a question for him?
Yeah, you know what? I'm a big fan of the band and, you know, Gene in general, man. I got to see you guys in Phoenix, and it was a cool show.
How long ago?
You know what? I think it was a couple of years ago. You guys were opening up for, I don't know how that happened. You were opening for Poison, and you guys just...
No. I think that, that's a lot to drink that night. We brought Poison out as a guest, but...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I remember you
Did
wiped
you
the floor up with Poison, though.
I beg your pardon?
I remember you wiped the floor up with Poison.
No. Everybody's a good guy, and everybody who gets out there...
good enough.
Everything.
You rocked the stage, I kind of think you were a little better.
All right. Do you have a question?
But I was glad to see you back in the makeup, though. You know what? I think, like, I equate, like, a Kiss concert with, like, sex with a beautiful woman.
You think?
If that makes any sense.
Or
like,
two.
Men are visually stimulated.
All right. We already heard this one. Let me talk to Connie, who's a longtime member of the Kiss Army.
Oh.
Here, Keith from Phoenix pontificate on what men are interested in.
Where's
Connie? Go ahead, Connie.
Hey, how you doing, Gene?
Oh, Connie the dude?
Yeah.
That's just disappointing.
That's sad.
No, no, no.
But you did sleep with Gene anyway?
No.
Honey.
I just wanted to say hello to Gene. I remember when you came to a town that I used to live in. I can't divulge that or else I'll get busted at work.
But you
guys let off a couple smudge pots and burned a hole up on the roof of the Coliseum.
Which city?
It's in Washington State.
You know, I know where it is. That is, in fact, true, and the ceiling there is very, very high. 80 feet, something like 80 feet tall, right?
Yeah. It's a horseshoe-shaped building.
I saw Kiss, I think, at the K-Rock Weenie Roast about seven or eight years ago, and there was also a fire stage with the pyrotechnics. How many fires have you guys set in your 32-year career?
Well, you know what happens is it's never our fault because we've been doing this 32 years. In fact, in July, we're going back to Japan, take a month off and just, you know, kick it, as our brethren might say. But we've got the most professional crew out there, which is why the Stones and Prince and everybody else hires our guys when we're off tour. But nothing ever happens. It's locally, when people aren't locally prepared for anything. You know, it's you know, when you come in a big coat and it's warm inside and you start sweating, you go, God, how often do you sweat? No. It's you. You came in wearing too much. It's always hot here. So when you get a Kiss show, you need fireworks and so on and so forth. And when the local crews aren't ready for it, things happen.
Yeah. I mean, have you ever had to clear out an arena?
Never.
Have you set anything on fire?
Nobody's ever. Absolutely not. And we get along great with the fire departments. They check us out in the afternoon, and everybody takes a look at everything.
Well, I don't want to. All I know is I'm doing the Kiss pyrotechnics math. I've been to one Kiss concert, and there was a fire. So
which city was that?
That was in Los Angeles. That was the Weenie Roast.
Oh, that's right. And that was outdoors, too.
Yeah.
That's right.
So I'm one for one.
How loud was that?
It was a great show, and I don't think it really affected you guys, and I can't even remember how they dealt with it. But
our guys are always there. They have the guys up at the truss have their own CO2 pack, so every one of those guys is a walking, you know, fire department.
I want to ask you about Liza Minnelli, because we talked about it before the break.
Uh-huh.
You managed her?
Her recording career, that's right.
In what years are we talking about?
I would say late 80s. Uh-huh.
Really?
And you were together?
No. Everybody thinks no.
You didn't sleep with her?
I did not.
Why not?
Yes.
You claimed.
Professional courtesy.
Oh. I have one I want to know about.
She's too old. That's
1984, great picture you make with Tom Selleck.
Right.
Runaway.
Right.
You know, the futuristic thing, the bullet, the man-hunting bullets.
No, at that point, I tried to mount every girl on the set.
Luther. You were playing Dr. Luther.
Bad guy, yeah.
Skinny Kirstie Alley. Still foxy Kirstie Alley.
Yeah, I tried.
And no.
We had lunch.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? Is that code for something?
No. You're married.
This is weird, like hearing Gene Simmons talk about trying to mount girls and not being able to.
Every guy tries all the time. I don't know anybody who hits the ball.
Especially Jerry
said
the intern.
No. Allie rejected.
Oh, I think the greatest coxman gets lots of no's. The idea is not whether you get no's. Every guy understands that when you get up to bat at one of those freak houses, you just keep swinging the bat. You'll hit a few beavers. Bang, 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 bang. You just keep swinging it.
I think it's moles you're whacking at, but beavers. It does work well, though.
Moles.
It should be whacking a beaver, by the way.
And by the way, we talked about this when we were off the air. Tell me if this is true.
Go ahead.
May I touch your fingertip? How's that?
Thank you. That feels good.
Yeah, she just came
to
town from Saskatoon, so that means something else there. But
what are you doing?
Tell me if this is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You and your girlfriends are in a club, and Adam walks in, and you know he's a nice enough looking guy, and you sort of shrug your shoulders and say he's a nice enough looking guy. He comes back the next day to the same club, and you're there with your girlfriends, and he's got four beautiful babes on his arm. Is he more attractive or not?
Oh, yeah. P smells P.
Yes.
And by P, I mean
You mean the letter P. Yes.
Defense rest, Your Honor.
Yeah, but it only goes so far.
But where do I get the four chicks? That's
the problem. Fat Tad, that pathetic tattooed sap out there.
You're wrong. I was out there, and I started to sit next to the, what was her name? Yes, he's
Rachel.
Pointing to her. Rachel, yeah. I started to sit
next
to her. Hi, how are you? Nice to see you. And he goes, and Tad says, no, don't come on to my girlfriend, my potential new girlfriend. And she says, yeah, she said something like, the door was open. So I immediately took his hand, did I or did I not, Dad, and put it right on her shoulder. She didn't brush it off.
Oh, please. She would never have anything to do with it.
Is that right?
That's right.
Well, he called her my little spinner, and she said, what's that? And you go, just attach and spin.
That's
disgusting.
Nasty. He hasn't been with a woman in 2 years.
As far as you know.
No. Has not been with a woman,
no,
period.
I haven't been with a
really?
Woman. Really? Yeah, in 2 years.
I could set you up so
what
easily.
Do you say to him?
Oh, please get set him.
So, look, he's got cute dimples and everything. Oh, I know a few
girls.
Are you
going to try and bed Tad now?
No, hey, no. I know some girls that would jump right on you.
Really?
Yeah. And the way to find out is by logging on to IndyCar.com. You can get all the details. That's
no, the way to find out is for Fat Tad to become your sidekick. Take him under your wing. Become his Sherpa.
Are you kidding?
Well, that's a great reality show. Listen,
when I get up out of bed, I'm much uglier than you are, and I do well. You'll do just fine. Don't worry.
Yeah, you don't drive an 87 Citation back to your mom's house in Covina. That's what Big Tad does. That's the problem there.
You live with your mom?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's her name?
Oh, he may have done her in the 70s. I hate to say it, Big Tad. All right,
Gene.
Look.
I liked you, Gene.
We have to take another break. I want to thank Gene Simmons for coming in.
My pleasure.
God love you. Stop by anytime you like.
Thank you.
Hey, Gene, will you do me a favor? My niece is listening. She's a huge Kiss fan, but she was too shy to talk to you. So would you just say happy birthday to her? Her name's Lorana.
Happy birthday, Lorana.
She's going to be 14.
We'll take a...
She understands.
Quick break. We'll be right back after this.
This is Steph Buckeye. Give Adam a call now at 1-866-901-ADAM.
Mm-hmm. 866-901-ADAM if you want to win a pool table valued at $750. It's also a poker table and a bumper pool table. It's 3-1. We're going to play a little Monday morning football. So if you want me to play for you or Sheck to play for you, and we'll be playing for that pool table. Again, you call in. Rachel, you okay?
Kent, to play?
You okay just in general?
Just in general, am I okay?
No, I mean, Gene Simmons, you know.
I'm a little shaken, but I'll live.
Okay.
It was, he's
labeled you uptight, you know. You should have shown him the tats of the birds.
Yeah, I think
that would have calmed him
down.
You know,
the thing is, people like that you don't argue with. Like, there's kind of, I feel like it's, what's the point of arguing with someone who's going to just tell me that I would only sleep, I would never have slept with him when he was a loser in high school, and that I would sleep with him now that he's a rock and roll star, which
yeah.
I think it's the opposite. I think I would rather sleep with him when he was a loser in high school than now.
Right. Really? You know, women always say that, but I don't know that. I think they do the math, but I'm not sure if they would actually do that. Plus, you were probably not born when he was in high school, so that would have been really weird. Really weird.
It would have been slightly uncomfortable for me. That's all there is to say about it. Painful.
All right. So, again, you call in if you want us to play for you, because we're doing a little something called Monday Morning Football. Yes? Oh. All right. So here's how the game works. We decided that Sheck and I are both sort of going through withdrawals because of the football season is over. And then I realized I have no idea what the scores were from the Monday Night Football games that were played starting in the early 70s. I think 1970. Why not gamble on those games? Why not just go through the season year by year? And we'll gamble on the Monday Night Football games. I don't know the outcome of these games. Neither does Sheck. We brought Howard Cosell in. He's going to call the games, and we're going to gamble on it. And the winner is going home with a $750 pool table. Peter?
Yes.
You want to play?
I do.
All right. I'll play for you.
Okay.
All right. Hang on. Let's get Ryan on the phone. Ryan?
Yo.
You want to play?
I do.
Good. Sheck will play for you. Let's get started, Howard.
Lucky Ryan.
A pleasure as always, Adam, to be here in the studio with a man who consistently oversimplifies this medium of radio.
Thank you.
A California matchup.
What does that mean?
Oh, yeah.
A California matchup as the Niners host the L.A. Rams, led by head coach Chuck Knox.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going Rams on this one.
That's your team. I'll defer to you on that. Ryan, how say you? We'll go 49ers?
Well, let me punch him up. Ryan, you want to go 49ers with Sheck?
I don't feel passionate either way.
I will trust Shaq's judgment on this one.
I think I thought the Niners sucked back then, but maybe those were during the Brody years.
I
want to
go the other way, yeah.
All right, I'm going Rams. Shaq goes Niners.
The Rams miss two extra points, but become the first visiting team to win a Monday game in 1974. Rams win 15-13. San Francisco fans, for the first time ever, disappointed by a Ram at home victory.
Wow. Well, let's keep going. I'm up 1-0.
Howard working blue.
Yeah.
Week 9, always working red, white, and blue. Fran Tarkenton and the Vikings head to St. Louis to play quarterback Jim Hart and the Cardinals.
Sir Francis of Tarkenton going to play Jim Hart. I believe it's pronounced Hart. I'm going to let you go first this time, Shaq.
Well, the Vikes were in their heyday. I'm going to go with Sir Francis and company.
I agree. The Vikes were in their heyday, and nobody won. Nobody did less winning than the Cardinals, really. But just to be fair, I'll go with the Cardinals to pick the opposite of you.
The Vikings take advantage of two Cardinal fumbles in the first half to score two touchdowns. Vikings win 28-24. That's incredible, as Tarkenton would say, while shoving a Negro Swami into a clean plastic box.
Yeah, that was a good show.
Hey, by the way, as a little side note, Taryn, yeah, the sales girl, mm-hmm, is in here. The foxy, yes, sales girl.
Yes.
She's in here. Gene Simmons just snuck in here. Under the, as though he was under the cloak
like
of night.
Stealthy. Like a thief in the night,
yeah.
Yes.
Slipped her a phone number, I believe, and she couldn't be happier about it. Look at her.
Why
she
not? Didn't happen? What are you talking about?
Don't play coy.
He did just sneak in here, though. What was that about? Oh, I'll tell you about it later.
Wow. Oh, yes, you will. Excuse me, Howard. I apologize.
Thank you.
We got one more game in a tiebreaker.
All right, one more question.
What's the standing at right now? It's 1-1.
1-1.
1-1-1.
And Brusca, who would have known who would win between the Rams and the 49ers and the Vikings and the Cardinals?
Well, just so you know, the Cardinals were 10-4 that year.
All right. Go ahead.
Touché.
Philadelphia plays host to division rivals Dallas Cowboys and red-hot wide receiver Drew Pearson.
Well, I'll go first, and I'll go with the Cowboys.
Well, I'm going to push it to the tiebreaker one way or the other. I have to do it. Golden Richard, speaking of smoking hot, wide receiver. I'm going to go Cowboys as well.
All right.
The Philadelphia Eagles offense sputters like a gutless jalopy and can't score a touchdown. However, a 45-yard field goal with 45 seconds left won it for the Eagles, proving that Pearson is a lard-fingered ignoramus with a howler monkey's gift for precision.
Wow. Harsh words for the great Drew Pearson. So we're tied up.
I forced it to overtime, yes.
Now we're going to our OT question. Here we go.
In overtime, the black and silver Oakland Raiders face the Juice, O.J. Simpson, and the Buffalo Bills.
We don't know where this game was played.
No.
Interesting.
I'll say that I'm going to turn it over to Ryan. It's his pool table to win.
All right. Ryan?
Oh, my.
Win it, Ryan. Win it. You can do it.
Oh, with my knowledge of classic football, it's a coin toss for me.
Well, pick a
team.
Well,
go with the Raiders, why don't you? And at least we...
Well, hold on. Let me talk to my guy. Peter?
Yes.
Who do you want? You want the Raiders or you want the Bills? This is for a pool table.
Well, you know, as much as I dislike the Juice, I'm going to have to go with the Juice.
Okay, so you're going with the Bills.
Yes.
And we're on the side of the law, Ryan and I.
All right, so we picked the Buffalo Bills, and Sheck and Ryan have the Raiders. Who is it?
O.J. Simpson didn't factor into the game much as he set the second half out with an ankle injury, an expulsion of waste on a mitochondrial level. The Bills get the winning score with a minute 56 remaining to win it 21-20.
All right. So you
win.
The Bills win. Wait a minute.
Yes, the Bills win.
Peter.
Hey.
The Bills win.
Excellent.
That means we win. That means you get yourself a $750 pool table courtesy of the Bernie Mac people in Fox.
Murderers on our team.
Hang on. Wow, another close game on Monday Morning Football. Thank you, Howard Cosell. Nice job.
A pleasure as always.
Super foxy star effing sales girl, Taryn, is in studio. Taryn, who you may have heard, had a disastrous date with her own Mike August.
How could it have gone good?
Well, I think part of the problem was Mike is so cheap that I insisted that she order the surf, turf, and surf again, which I may have invented. It's two lobster tails and a piece of steak. Already, Mike was angry because he had to shell out the money for the surf, turf, and surf again. But you guys didn't get along from the get-go, right?
From the get-go, we didn't get along. And last time I was here, I forgot to say that we shared the meal. He didn't order his own.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Oh no.
Oh, my God. See, Mike.
Yeah, there was so much to talk about. I forgot.
Our booker, Mike August, and as I've said before, nobody books from within the building is good. There may be bookers out there with Rolodexes who can make phone calls to publicists, but nobody books from within the building as good as Mike August does. Hence, Taryn, the beautiful sales girl guest today. These guys went out on a date. I know how cheap Mike is, and I said, you have to go to Arnie Morton's. You have to order this. I laid out. You had to get the lobster bisque. You had to do this, and you had to get the Cobb salad or the Morton salad, whatever it is, because I knew he would smuggle in a box of Pringles, and and you guys would eat nothing but croutons and tap water, and he'd leave a 50-cent tip. I said, you have to order the surf, the turf, and the surf again, but what I didn't know is that he was then going to eat off of your plate.
Yeah, he said, that's so much food. You can't eat all that on your own. Let's just share.
So he didn't actually order a meal for himself.
No, he didn't.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Now, Taryn.
I am.
Yeah. No, it's all making sense now. Taryn, just to describe Taryn, stop me if I screw this up. Taryn is half Vietnamese.
No, I'm full Vietnamese.
Full Vietnamese.
Yes.
And beautiful, beautiful, well, auburn colored, sort of reddish hair, blue eyes, and
smart August, as a whip.
August is on the phone.
Thank you.
By
yes.
the way. Yeah, smart, crazy,
but savvy,
beautiful,
crazy,
savvy.
She's got her S together.
Yeah, and here's the thing about Taryn, has one of those bodies. We talked about it. I argued with the personal trainer from the Fit Club and all that stuff. But the thing is Taryn is cut in a certain way. No waist, beautiful rump on her, and a solid C cup. I mean, just an incredible body. What happened to Mike August? Was he on the phone?
I guess we just lost him. Oh, he's back.
Can't even book himself.
Mike?
Yes.
What's Mr. happening?
Carola.
Yes.
How you doing, buddy?
Doing good. So Taryn tells us that when I forced you and I forced her to order the surf, turf, and surf again, that you said that was enough and didn't order your own meal.
That was well enough. Was it not, Taryn?
Oh, no, I left hungry, so good thing I had alcohol to drink.
And you guys got into some kind of blowout at the beginning of the day. You didn't even finish the meal? You got up and left?
No, that's not true.
No.
You went through the whole day?
Yeah, I went through the whole day.
All right, you didn't.
But I was hungry, though.
You didn't go anywhere. And you hate. Now, what's wrong with Mike August? What was the problem? And, Mike, why do you think Taryn is a psycho?
I don't think she's a psycho. Oh, far from it. I think she's very, very deliberate.
She's cagey.
Oh, definitely.
What?
There's nothing psychotic about her at all.
Well, no, she's manipulative. Tell the story, Mike, that came out at the date.
I would love to hear this, Mike.
Yeah, what came out at the date, Mike?
Dave, you have to prompt me on this. What story?
The
Go
story
ahead.
about her bow.
Oh, of course.
That this was all to make someone jealous.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's new
to me. Absolutely. Oh, that's Mike. Stop flattering yourself.
She dates. She's with the hip hop fella.
No, I'm not.
Oh, really? Oh, the Black Eyed Peas thing.
Correct.
Oh, great.
That's what I understand.
Ah, yes, I heard about that too.
This was out. She was airing this, being broadcast out, and hopefully he would hear it. And then she doesn't know that Mike August, what he looks like. That he's a grown man who doesn't wear socks on his feet and has a ridiculous head of hair. The Black Eyed Pea guy doesn't know this. All he knows is that his lady, who wants to make him jealous, is out making time with someone else.
Taryn, you want to defend yourself?
Mike, just accept that I just don't like you. There's no other reason.
Well, you have other reason not to. We did go on a date for 10 minutes. You have every right to make a full and fair judgment of that.
10 minutes. No, I think it was 2 hours.
Wow.
And a whole bottle of wine didn't get me drunk enough.
What is the problem with... Yeah, I mean, obviously, there's nothing wrong with Mike physically, right?
Okay.
Wow.
If you like Katie Lang.
Wait a minute. All right. So he looks like Katie Lang and Fred... who's the actor? Fred Ward.
Carolla.
Fred Ward and Katie Lang.
Here's
had a
what
kid.
You can do, by the way. If you go to AdamCarolla.com, the picture, Mike August's picture is on the site. You can take a look at it and evaluate yourself.
Look up.
Yes, let's all do that.
Look up Fred Ward and Katie Lang. I swear he looks more like Fred Ward than Katie Lang, but Katie Lang is much funnier, so we'll go with Katie Lang too. Point is I don't think there's anything wrong with Mike physically. I mean, he's not fat. He's a normal height. He has nice teeth. He has nice skin. I mean, look, here's my point. You could do much worse than Mike August physically. You definitely could.
Yeah, but we've all determined already here that women don't go for looks. We go for money
and
jobs.
That's my point. So there's nothing wrong with him. I mean, if he had an amazing personality, he was an amazing artist and had a great sense of humor and all that kind of stuff, his looks wouldn't get in the way, would
it? I agree. You're great. 100%.
So obviously then it's the personality.
Yes.
And what's wrong with the personality?
Well, you know, I try to get to know him by asking him questions about him, and it would always come back to business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, I grew up here, but, you know, that's where I met so-and-so, and that's where I got this job, and it's like...
He's trying to impress you.
Name-dropping.
Name-dropping, yes, which is not a really good thing for me, because I'm really bad with names, and I wouldn't know who he's talking about anyway.
Well, here's the thing. Let me say this. You're a beautiful woman. You work here at the radio station. You probably... dated celebrities in your time, and I think what Mike was trying to do is keep up with the Joneses. You know, he was trying to let you know that he wasn't just some bumpkin who fell off the turnip truck, that he used to work at Willie Morris. He was trying to impress you.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't be upset by it.
No, I'm not.
You know, let me say this real quick. I'm putting Mike on hold because it sounds like he's effing a styrofoam cooler while he's on hold. Let me say this, ladies. Rachel, please listen. Here's the thing, Taryn. Guys get penalized a lot for trying to talk themselves up. You know, oh, he wouldn't stop talking about how much he did made or what his job was. He was sort of bragging on himself. Women hate that. But when you break it down, he's really just trying to impress you. Ultimately, he's saying, please like me. It may be a failed attempt, and maybe it's not the greatest strategy. But in his heart, he likes you, and he's trying to get you to like him, and that's why he's talking himself up. So even though you hold it against him, it shouldn't be a huge strike. You know, they're nervous, and they're trying to put their best foot forward.
But I have to say, every good speaker would know his audience.
Mm-hmm.
So when he sees my eyes rolling in the back of my head, I think that would be a good sign not to talk about that anymore.
Yeah. Gene Simmons sees that. He hops on top of you. Thinks it meant you passed out momentarily.
The roofie is taking effect.
Yes, the roofie's taking hold.
Yeah.
Taryn, natural C cup, by the way, I have to get back to the beautiful bosom there.
No, it's not, unfortunately.
Well, a wonderful job, anyway.
Thank you.
And a beautiful behind on you. Beautiful behind. Mike?
Yes?
I'm sorry it didn't work out, but I...
Adam, you are to be applauded, though. You are a champion, my friend.
Thank you for playing Ass Kiss Rodeo. And
I just want you to keep trying for me. That's all.
I will
move on from this horrible defeat.
And let me tell you the thing. Let me tell you my observation. And Shaq, Rachel, Taryn, everyone, chime in. Tell me if you think I'm on to something here. I think the problem with Mike August is you don't know who he is because he has a little bit of a rap. Now, not a slimy used car salesman, you know, suntan from a jar wrap, but a little bit of a, who is this guy? What is he all about? I mean, he's got a little, here's where I work, and here's what I do, and here's who I know. He's a great speaker. He's eloquent. But ultimately, you don't know who he is. You don't get a vibe off of him as to who he is. You know what I'm saying? And I think maybe they're losing that connection. Maybe that's the problem with the ladies.
I sincerely mean this when I say that. I think you're overthinking it. I think it comes down to this. He's a grown man who doesn't wear socks. That's
okay,
it.
Maybe you're right.
Women see that? It's a bizarre choice. He seems like a lunatic as a result, and they want nothing to do with him, period.
All right. What do you think, Rachel?
You know,
as a female, what's the vibe you get?
I feel like from knowing what happened on the date and like what I know about Mike, like I like Mike, but there's something about him that is, it's almost like confrontational with women or something.
Yes.
It's like he's looking at us as the enemy before mm-hmm. it begins. Like, he's not trying to, you know, I don't know. It's
he's reloading with his next verbal jab and not sitting back and getting into the flow of the conversation.
He's trying to win.
Yes. That,
you know what I mean? It's like a game or a
all right
contest.
Mike.
Yes, sir.
Come on in. We'll see you soon.
Mike hates me now.
All right. I hope that was constructive or at least entertaining. Taryn, we brought you in for a reason, though. You're here to rate the guys.
Yes.
We've done this many times. Sheck, it was rated number two or three a couple of times and is very upset about it.
We should be keeping track of this so that we can get a standings.
I want you to know, we should keep track. Write it down. Brasco.
I just think I'm hamstrung by the fact that everybody wants a curry favor with the boss man.
I've not come in first. I've only come
in
first.
Have.
I've come in
first. Rachel Perry made
you first
one.
With me.
Yes. And Angie made you number one.
And then somewhere in the middle with other people that have come in here. I'm not coming first every time, but go ahead, Taryn.
Well, after that, I'm going to have to change my answer then.
Yeah.
No, just go with your gut instinct.
All right.
Well, hold on one second. Sorry about that, but we are running very late. I think we'll have to do this right when we come back. Brasco, you cool with that?
Sure.
All right, Taryn, hold tight.
Okay.
We'll take ourselves a quick break, then we'll you can rate all the gents in studio after this.
You're listening to Adam Carolla, so call him now. Now at 866-901-ADM.
Yeah. All right. We'll get right to it because, as usual, we're running behind. Fred Goss is here. Fred Stars and Sons and Daughters. New hit comedy.
That's nice.
On ABC. Tuesday nights, 9 o'clock and 9:30. I watched it last week and thoroughly enjoyed it, by the way.
Thank you.
It was very nicely done. And it had the little disclaimer at the front that said, some of this is improvised.
Yeah, that's a network idea.
I thought it was, because I didn't think it was a legal thing. You needed to be warned if some of the dialogue was improvised. But it made it more interesting, thinking this wasn't all coming from a script. Fred and I are also former neighbors, which he had to remind me of. I'm that great a neighbor. He had to remind me of that. He also reminded me that I helped him and his wife get a variance and actually signed for a variance when they did an addition on their house and gave his wife some world-class advice when it came to doing a big remod. All these things had slipped my mind, and this was only a couple years ago. Fred, also, he lived in the house that I had a house in Sherman Oaks that had a basketball hoop we used to play all the time. I think
the party house.
The party house. Yeah. Many of your kids' toys came over my fence.
That was me throwing them because
really?
The profanity is coming off the basketball court. I'd hold my 5-year-old daughter up over the fence and say, "Give me a break."
They would be in back playing with SpongeBob on a hoppity horse, and my buddy Ray would yell the C word and the F word and the N word and then kick the ball into Fred's yard. And every time we'd warn everybody all the time, listen, relax with the crazy, because we could hear Fred's kids playing in the next yard and still someone would get fouled and then the MF-er would go flying and it would all be heading in your yard.
Ray was great because he'd swear whether he was winning or losing.
Yes.
It didn't matter.
He had a celebratory swear and he had an MF-er for scoring three and he had an MF-er for getting fouled and losing too. And then would always kick the ball into Fred's yard. All right. So much business to do here. Taryn, so Fred, hang tight for one second.
Absolutely.
Taryn, I'm sorry, unfinished business. Beautiful sales girl. You're going to rate the guys here, and then we will get to Fred and Sons and Daughters. Go ahead.
All right. There was three categories that I thought about when I was rating you guys, and the first thing is, of course, physical appearance, and you got to be attractive, and how much money you made.
Yeah,
let's face
smart.
It. Yeah.
Let's face it. Yeah.
You need to have enough money to take me out.
Yeah.
And
surf, turf, and surf again. Sure, that ain't going to be cheap.
And, of course, you have to be single. So I think you guys all lost on that because the only person that's single now is you, Mike, right?
Well.
Except you're engaged.
Engaged, yeah. It's a hypothetical. So we can
don't
put
have the ring on the
we
finger
can put
yet.
The status aside for a second.
So the last person that came on the list was Mike August.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm sorry. He's not here, right?
Yeah.
But
he's last on the list.
He's right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
First of the last, yes. Mm-hmm. Well, I have to say, Jimmy,
Brusca. Jimmy Brusca.
I'm next.
Jimmy Brusca.
Wow. Or Lynch on cloud nine that he's not bringing up the rear.
Yeah, the caboose.
Five times we've done this.
And what is wrong with me that I'm so low near Mike August?
I wouldn't say wrong.
Why are you fishing for...
Just give the top 11.
Yeah. God, I feel bad doing this. I don't know if I want to do this.
What is wrong with Brusca?
I really like Jimmy.
This is the last
really
time
nice.
We'll be hearing from Taryn, by the way.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say wrong, but just... No, it didn't score as high.
Okay.
All right.
The next person would be Mike.
Yeah. Mike Lynch, number three with a bullet.
Yeah, and then Dave, you're next.
Wow.
I'm not surprised. I mean, listen, this one, Gage's celebrity is the most important thing. And so, of course, she's going to put you at the top.
Well, I got to say something. I got a news flash for you. Maybe you didn't hear it from the great Coxman Gene Simmons. Mm-hmm. We got to look that one up, by the way. Find out it's okay to talk about, ironically, Coxman. Women don't just factor in looks. They factor in your position. They factor in your income. They factor in many, many power. It's an aphrodisiac. You're angry every time because you think you're a 9 in the looks department and I'm a 7 in the looks department. Women don't just, they don't plug their ears and just put on glasses. You know what I mean? They have ears. They hear my sense of humor. They see my bankroll.
I'm happy with a 7.5 or whatever, but you know, listen.
All right.
I mean, I have two eyes and a mirror. Oh, thanks,
man. All right, now let's get to number one. Thank you.
And number one would be you, Adam.
Why? Why? Tell me why.
Why? Because... I know. Thanks,
it's
Jimmy.
Baloney. Yeah. This is baloney.
I agree with the fact that I didn't make the list.
Yeah, if you factor in the income and, you know, the personality.
Sure.
And, yeah.
And the income.
Hold on, Brusca, what are you complaining about?
His sign it was looks, not money. Of course he makes the most money. We don't need to bring anybody in here to tell us that Adam makes the most money
Brusca,
in the room.
Brusca, you're not better looking than me anyway.
Apparently.
So what are you complaining about? All right.
Well, CBS paid you the big bucks to do what you do, so that's why you rate number one.
All right. Taryn bringing up dollars on more than one occasion, if you notice. Maybe that was a problem with Mike August. All right, Taryn, thank you very much.
Thank you for your honesty.
Took a lot of guts, to be honest.
All right, thank you.
A lot of guts.
It really did.
A lot of guts. That's a gutsy broad right there. Standing up for what was right.
Please show her the door.
In the face of insurmountable odds and standing up. I like that. Like the young Chinese man in Tiananmen Square standing in front of the Soviet tank or the Chinese tank. You see what I'm saying? Took a lot of guts to come in here and call the host of the show the best looking guy.
I see my reflection in the mirror, and I know it's more attractive than what I'm looking at right now.
Well, Dave, why don't you rate the men in the room?
A lot
then?
Of guts. Well, Dave. And then Dave, and then get to the rest of us. Fred Goss is here. He is the star. Creator, editor, producer, writer, although there is some improv, Sons and Daughters, it is on ABC. We need to take a break, and then we will get to him, find out what kind of neighbor I was. We'll do all that after this.
Hey, this is Quagmire. Call Adam Carolla now at 1-866-901-ADAM.
Mm-hmm. Fred Goss is here. Former neighbor, Fred Goss. The mic on there, Fred?
I think so, yeah.
There we go.
There we are.
Yes, he lived next door to me. I had many conversations with him through the fence, like Tim Allen used to do. Gave him some home improvement advice, told him to get a variance.
My wife saw him building his garage with his shirt off. She's like, who's that?
That's right. That's why I'm number one with the ladies. Yes, I did some. I did a lot of work on my house, and she... poked her head over the fence and asked for some advice. I poked my penis through the fence. That's what you call symbiotic relationship. You don't understand. And I gave her some very good advice about the remod, and it saved you a lot of time and money, yes?
Yes, it did. It did. Well, we got the remodel that we wanted, as opposed to cutting in by 3 feet.
That's right. A little setback rule problem. Also, we noticed Fred has a black eye.
I do.
Fred stars, by the way, in Sons and Daughters, Tuesday nights, 9 o'clock, ABC. How did you get that black eye?
I did Diane Sawyer, or Good Morning America, and Diane Sawyer punched me in the eye.
Wow. Must have said something controversial. Yeah.
I told her she had a nice caboose, and she clocked me.
Wow. How'd you really get it?
I was going through the security at the airport, and I was trying to get my computer out of the backpack, and
hit myself in the eye with my own computer.
Were you frustrated?
I was trying to get my shoes off, my belt off, everything in the little dish, and
the
there was some guy behind me, you know, and as soon as it hit, I'm like, oh my gosh, and this old guy behind me goes, you've got a goose egg. You know, thanks.
Which could have meant you farted. And you
I may have when it happened.
So you actually had a welt from whacking yourself in the eye with your own. Would you hit yourself with the computer?
Yeah, I got a titanium in it. Just right.
Just say today, from this point forward, Gene Simmons preceded you into here. Say you got into it with him in the green room and over a lady or something like that. You defended a lady's honor and he struck you.
You know, listening to him depresses me. I'm married 16 years with three kids, and sex has become a birthday treat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And not for the kids, because they ruin them hearing what goes on in the next bedroom.
So you want to go do like Gene Simmons? You want to just go out and...
No, just split the difference. I mean,
right.
Somewhere in between. You
That's what I'm going to go home and tell my wife. I'm going to draw up a chart that says Fred Goss and then Gene Simmons. And I'm going to say, I want to meet somewhere around the Mason-Dixon line in the middle, honey. I'm not saying I'm going full Gene Simmons. I ain't going Fred.
Well, Utah Jazz player Andrei Kirilenko, he's married to a pop star from Russia. She gives him once a year license, one time. You get one shot a year outside the marriage.
Really?
How about that?
That would make me uncomfortable, though. See, I can't do what Gene said. If the missus would just, if we could just figure out a way to, I don't know, make more time. It's three kids. It's raising three kids. That's
I wonder, these guys, these European guys who have the mistresses, they have their wives. You always hear about when some dignitary in France dies, his wife and his funeral, and his wife and his mistress attend the funeral, and he's been married to his wife for 40-something years. We average, 3.5 years in our marriage. I wonder if we got a mistress, if this marriage wouldn't just go on forever. You know what I mean? That is my one Gene Simmons argument, which is, if you ladies would let us just have a little something on the side, a little mistress, there'd never be a divorce.
Why don't you just get more wives?
Well, that's a good point, like Bill Paxton did.
Mm-hmm. According to Gene, though, there are mistresses. Everyone's a liar. And
right. Well,
yeah. Fresca, do you have a mistress?
Absolutely not. There's no way I can get one.
I know a girl who was with Gene for a brief period of time, and she said that the girth of the tongue is only surpassed by the girth of the, what can you say?
Wow.
Chode?
Mm. Yeah, I think you can say chode. And also, I'm looking at my notes here, and it says that Fred appeared on The Man Show.
Yes, I was in a
I don't remember you.
I was in a sketch called Wife School.
Ah, yes. Yes. The beautifully reviewed Wife School.
Yes, yes, and it shows up on websites everywhere. It's like a very downloaded little video.
Wow. Yeah. We should check that out. All right, so Fred, you'll hang with us for a little news.
And this show,
sports.
The Sons and Daughters, has a great cast. I like the cast. It's got Max Gale.
Wojo.
Barney Miller's Wojo.
Yeah.
Wojo Howitz.
He's great.
That's right.
Yeah.
And D. Wallace Stone.
D. Wallace.
Cujo.
If I had a free pass, I'd do her.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah, she's great.
Yeah.
Smoking.
Fred.
Sorry.
Fred, you hang tight. Chime in.
Okay.
No pressure.
All right.
But if something funny comes, don't hold it back, brother. It is now time for beautiful Rachel Perry and the news.
So, Slobodan Milosevic died on Saturday. Why am I talking like that? I don't know. Anyway, he's been on trial for war crimes that he committed in the 90s, and he died of an apparent heart attack in jail.
Yeah, it was the 90s. It was a different time. Everyone was committing war crimes back then. Tell me you didn't commit a few war crimes in college. Come on.
Got me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure, a little genocide. Sure, you round up a few ethnic Jews and gas them. Sure. What you do. It's what everyone did back then. It's just what we did.
You can't. Yeah,
break.
You can't judge.
Yeah.
And moving on, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremonies are happening tonight at the Waldorf Astoria in New York. Black Sabbath.
Yeah.
Blondie. Miles Davis. Lynyrd Skynyrd. The Sex Pistols and Herb Alpert and Jerry Moss all being inducted, but... The Sex Pistols, apparently, according to Johnny Rotten, not attending.
Good.
We're not coming. We're not your monkey.
and so what?
Look, everyone on that list is good except for them and him. They suck compared to those other bands.
But Herb? How's that rock and roll?
Miles Davis, point. I realized, you know, experimented at the end of his life with it, but it's not rock and roll really either. Well, but the Sex Pistols were good. Here's that the, first record.
Here's
was,
the Herb and the Jerry Moss. Jerry Moss is the M of A&M, and Alpert is the A of A&M. So Herb Alpert and Jerry Moss are A&M records, so he's probably getting in because of creating A&M records. I'm guessing.
He was a rocker, well done. Herb.
Thank you.
Thank
you. A&M Records.
Thank you. And, of course, The Sopranos premiered last night, and something very exciting happened.
Shocking. Yeah. Tony's, shocking. He's avoided the bullets of all his foes, but Uncle Jew is the one who fells him.
Uncle Jew.
This is what happened.
Uncle Jew! Call 911!
New York City, hello. Our guest is Donald Trump.
Wow. Larry King picked up the phone.
Let's take some calls for Donald Trump.
He thinks he's talking to
enough,
Trump.
Yeah, he only had enough strength to make one call.
Let me tell you something. This is why I always keep one phone on the floor. I've seen way too many depictions where people are hit with bullets or clocked over the head, and they're lying there, and they're dragging a pool of their own blood, spilling onto the carpet, and they're desperately clawing for the phone, and then they always just pull it off and pull it out, and they break it off. I keep a phone on the floor and one on the ceiling. Yes. Smart. You don't know what's going on with gravity.
But the series television kind of falls short because we know he's not going to die. I mean,
is that your contention?
Come on,
I say he's dead.
No way.
I think that it's that they're using this to plan a fake death so people think he's dead.
They have a bonus 8 episodes after this 10. There's no way they can kill him.
I know. Well, I'm worried that it would become a 6 feet under kind of thing. I don't know where they could take it if he's dead. But is he going to be visiting all the cast members? Kind of. That's going to be a little.
Yeah, I say they milk it a little bit. I say he goes into some sort of coma. And they do a couple of episodes where he's touch and go in the coma and having flashbacks and memories and doing that kind of stuff. That way they kind of get the death thing in, but we bring him back after 3 or 4 episodes.
He can haunt people with pussy.
That's right.
Yeah.
Lord knows.
That's right.
I do.
Lord knows Rachel does, yes.
I don't even know what that means. Anyway, I'm Rachel Perry. That's the news for now.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Well, well, well. NCAA tourney time is here. First round gets going on Thursday. Of course, one of the great TV events for a true sports fan. The seedings are announced. The selection show. Nothing better. Watched it yesterday, as did everyone, and rewatched it, and then listened to Dickie V talk about it for about 4 hours last night. Fantastic stuff. Number one seeds went to Duke, UConn, Villanova, and Memphis. UCLA at Pac-10's best team. They came out nice. Number two seed, also from the Pac-10. Cal's a 7 seed. They play North Carolina State. Washington's a 5. They play Utah State. And Lute's boys from Arizona play Wisconsin in an 8-9 matchup. World Baseball Classic. U.S. came back yesterday to beat Japan 4-3. Bottom of the ninth, A-Rod singled in the winning run. So they pulled that one out today. The U.S. plays Korea. NBA, bad one last night for the L.A. Kobe's. Playing so well, too, they had been. But they lost at home to the Supersonics. Now they're just a game and a half up on the Hornets for the last playoff spot. Meantime, the Kings of Schwarzenegger, they won last night to put themselves into the playoff spot. So very tenuous for these Lakers. They may not get in. Portland beat the Suns. Big news for Arizona Cardinals and their fans. Their four fans ecstatic about the news that they signed one of the best running backs in the league, Edgerrin James, formerly of the Colts. And he gave a press conference yesterday, and Edge James, you know, he's got the gold teeth,
yeah.
He's got the, you know,
dreads,
the crazy hair and everything. So,
yeah.
I mean, but
great,
he's going to bring a new swagger to that ball club, and he discussed as much with the media yesterday.
4 years for $30 million. Well, that's a fine how-do-you-do. I'm tickled pink. Now, puck your ears up, because I'm not just whistling Dixie. This fella is going to show the world he's a bona fide grade-A humdinger of a ball player. I'll zig when they zag, scoot when they skedaddle, and so on. Excuse me. Hello? Mr. Sheldrake? It's Mr. Sheldrick, the owner of the Indianapolis Colts.
He calls every
time.
Yes,
sir, I'm leaving your team behind. Well, to be square with you, I've got one doozy of a case of lumbago, and my doc says the sun'll do me good. All the best to you, too. Next time you're in my neck of the woods, let's get a lemonade. Between you, me, and the lamppost, the real reason I'm leaving, I think Mr. Sheldrake might be sweet on me. Why, he couldn't keep his mitts off me.
Wow. Andrew and James.
You know, it's funny, because when you see him with the, you know, the tat of the black fraternity that was done with a soldering iron, you know, the gold cap teeth, and the crazy, crazy dude, he just, I never heard him interviewed.
I know, it's because I think it's the power of suggestion. When you see him interviewed and you're looking at him with the gold teeth, I think you hear, I think
you
project.
You know what? I know it. That's wrong. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do that. I'm sorry for that.
So, good news for the Arizona Cardinals.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
All right, nice job. Fred?
Yes.
Thank you for keeping your balls out of my yard.
Yes, you too.
Symbolically. Thank you.
The missus will be sad, but...
Fred Goss, Sons and Daughters, Stars and Sons and Daughters, great new show.
Watch it.
I saw it last week, and I'll be watching this Tuesday, 9 o'clock and 9:30 on ABC.
American Idol, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, forget that.
Screw that. We have our drunken tree mascot who's coming in here. She has to apologize to Jack Silver, the program director out here in Los Angeles, and then we'll see where it goes after that.
You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Yes, you are. All right, so here's what's happening. We have ourselves a mascot. We're looking for a show mascot, and Sheck, the sports guy, came across an interesting story.
This guy,
Palo Alto.
Well, I was reading about it. This guy hit me to it, sent it to me on the online. There's a girl, that, first of all, Stanford, their nickname is the Cardinal.
Right.
Not the Cardinals, the bird. The Cardinal, as in the color,
yes.
Cardinal red.
Right.
And they changed that from the Indians from years ago because it was politically incorrect, whatever.
Right.
So they changed it to, and then inexplicably on top of it, the Cardinal, their mascot is a tree.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
She's a tree. She's wild.
Tree. Yeah.
So she's a tree.
Hello.
And yeah. So their mascot, they have a girl in a tree costume. And she was caught at a basketball game last night, drunk. She was drunk while supposedly doing the cheer. And so they fired her.
They kicked
her out. Now we...
Shut up!
She's doing calisthenics in here, and it's creating static on the carpet. I got a shock.
Supposedly doing a cheer?
Yeah. Do you know how hard it was to be a tree and cheer?
Yeah, it's tough. Snuck some booze in. They kicked her out. Now she needs a home. We need a mascot. We got a pair of brand new roller skates. She's got a key.
Right.
Let's put us together.
Stanford has no mascot now.
Right.
And see what happens.
Killjoy Jack Silver, program director extraordinaire here at KLSX, our mother station, said that he needed an apology from our drunken tree mascot because you worked a little blue last time you were in here.
I was... under a lot of pressure. I was feeling sick.
Right.
I ate a pizza pocket, a frozen one.
You didn't even microwave it.
Oh. I did. And you, how many licks does it take to get to the pepperoni? Well,
That's what we're talking about.
Look, sister, the long and the short of it is...
Sister, I'm not your sister.
I don't mind the whole premise of you being the mascot for the show.
Right.
But you know, this thing, these microphones are attached to transmitters. And people are listening. So when you're getting in there working blue, using the T word, using the...
The
HJ word, if I could be so bold.
Use the T word for the boobies.
Right.
And we can't do that. And here's the thing.
I am sorry. Okay? And I did prepare a letter for you, Jack Silver. Here it is. Dear Jack Silver.
I think she's drunk again.
Maybe.
Really?
I am so, 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 so... So, what's that word?
Sorry?
Sorry.
Stupid.
About it. I didn't want to do it, and I didn't mean to do it, but then there was this thing I started to do, and then I got to call my cell phone, and they didn't know who it was, so I got nervous, and then...
Oh, no.
I don't want to do anything
what have you
to
done,
ruin...
Jack?
I don't want to do anything to ruin my relationship with you, Adam, because... I know you're the only one that's going to get me the Jimmy Kimmel. I want to suck on those chubby little fingers.
See again.
We said fingers.
Fingers.
But seriously, I didn't mean anything against you, Dax Gibbler. I just felt like it was like...
Right. Yeah.
Well, as a VP of programming, I have to every once in a while, you know, have the whip come down.
Right.
So do me a favor.
Oh.
Do you want to spank me?
I know.
See what I mean, Adam? Yeah, every time, this woman is going to go right to the blue streak.
Well,
I don't need it. I don't want it. I don't need
we
it.
We don't need any FCC trouble. And she comes in here inebriated and sometimes says things that she wishes she could take back. Just please apologize to Jack Silver and we'll move on.
Oh, I've got some surf magazines to read. Let's go.
Please. All right.
Make it snappy.
I'm sorry, okay? I'm sorry, but it's 8 in the morning. What do you expect me to be drunk? I'm in. That's it. That's all.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Jack
I accept
Silver.
Your apology.
Nice
I'll
job.
See you in my office after the show. Don't bring your headphones.
Ooh la la.
Wow.
That's a proposition. Wow.
I think it is.
So.
Does it make you happy?
No, it doesn't make me happy. I hate being on the cutting block.
Again.
Okay, but listen. We missed you in Vegas, first off. I went
in. Yeah, how was Vegas?
Well, I know you're upset last time that you didn't get to go. We had a good time over there, but again, we only had enough in the budget for a certain amount of plane tickets and hotel rooms, and you just didn't make the cut. One more time, but we're glad to have you as our mascot.
Thank you.
We're glad to hear you cheering for the show.
Adam Carolla! Yeah. Give me an A. Give me a D. Give me an M.
Yeah.
What does it spell?
There's another. I'm sorry. Do you have any other cheers for it?
I certainly do. This one is called, no, I actually don't.
Oh, okay.
I will think hard and long and I'll put it together. You know, I'm going through a lot of things right now, so just bear with me.
Matt?
Yeah.
You like a drunken tree mascot?
Oh, you know what? That tree sounds way too much like Johnny Weir, the Olympic figure skater.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, are we sure that that's a woman or are we sure that Johnny Weir is a man?
I can assure you, as sure as I'm sitting here, that our drunken tree mascot is a woman and a very bosomy woman.
Oh. Not a particularly attractive woman.
Well, there's a lot of women depending on how you like them built.
Dare you?
You just look a little drunk or something, you know. It's not attractive,
first,
I'm sorry.
First time I heard the voice, I go, that's the veritable Steve McQueen of figure skating. That's, as Damashek once said. I thought, no, that's not like Johnny Weir.
No.
Why don't you come down here and get some, huh? And I'll show you what it's all about.
Wow.
Okay, I need an address.
Wow, kind of proposition, drunken tree mascot right over the air.
Right, people think I can't handle myself. You give me a pair of nunchucks and some scotch. Anybody can...
Brusco, let's get some
it's
coffee
gonna be
in
a
there or something.
Scene.
This is getting embarrassing again.
It really is.
Jimmy! Jimmy Kimmel!
No.
Why disguise yourself with glasses?
No, that's Jimmy Brusco.
They
look similar. They are similar, I guess, if you describe them. But no, that is not Jimmy Kimmel, the one with the chubby fingers, which you'd love to suck.
Tickle, tickle. That's like tickle time.
Yeah, tickle. Tickle, bro.
I
want
to give it to you. This is about, oh my God. Why do I have to stand in one place? Hi, Rachel Perry.
Uh-oh, it's tickle time. A little lesbian love with the drunken tree mascot.
I love watching Jimmy Brusco get tickled.
All right. Any more cheers before we break a drunken tree mascot?
Adam Carolla. It's the only one I can really remember.
All right. Well, let's try to focus on some because after our...
Okay.
You are our show mascot now.
Yeah.
And you have to represent the show in and out of the studio. Okay.
Okay.
And this, quite frankly, I mean, this is just my two cents. I feel like this isn't representing the show very well. I think this is embarrassing, as a matter of fact.
You mean being drunk and sort of
right
at the edges?
I mean, groping coworkers. I mean, I don't know. Is this what we, whatever.
Well, I think when you sign up for a tree mascot that was thrown out of their last gig because they were boozing inside the tree outfit, there's a certain amount of baggage that comes along with that check.
Yes. All I gotta say is, if somebody like me, you're gonna get the real deal. You're going to get a good luck charm. Well, right. They quit helping at Stanford when they got rid of me. Now they're out of it.
Yeah. Didn't even make the tournament.
Didn't make the tournament.
Yeah. Okay? So a little bit of respect goes a long way, Adam.
All right. Thank you.
Okay?
Thank you.
I don't have to stick around here and put up with this, okay? I'm a real woman.
Okay.
I'm going to the bathroom.
All right. We will. Thank you, Drunken Tree Mascot. Off. We'll take ourselves a break. The Ed, as we know him, is calling in from Vegas. He has a Desperate Housewives review. We'll do that after this.
You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. He's so hot.
Mm-hmm. 866-901-ADAMS, the phone number. The Ed, as we like to call him, is calling in from Vegas. We asked him some weeks back if he could review Desperate Housewives for us. It didn't seem like the kind of show he would watch, so... Drunken Tree Mascot.
It's actually left.
We wrapped up your segment about 10 minutes ago, and we're looking to move on with the show.
I'm sorry.
She stormed off. She was angry.
She stormed out of here, and now you're back.
I was confused. I didn't know I had to go to the bathroom, and everyone is yelling at me and looking at me, and my makeup was running. And I just feel bad because I just don't want to do bad on this show.
No, look, you're doing... No. Listen, stop beating yourself up. Here's the thing. I think you get into a shame spiral and you start eating too much and you start drinking too much. And it's just, you're a young woman... And you have your whole life ahead of you, and we're looking for a mascot. If you could just come in here, maybe be sober for once and really start focusing on what it takes to be a mascot for this show. Okay, good.
I will. Okay. I promise I will. Okay. I just have to give you a little time.
All right.
There's so many things I'm not good at. Like the internet,
right.
Baking things.
Well, let's not make mascotting one of those things, huh?
I will do it.
Something you're good at.
I promise I'll do it.
Okay. We gotta go. All right. Let's, Breska, get
her. I told her one segment. I don't understand.
Breska, point her to the...
Crap. Every day I'm going to get emotional. Like this.
Come on.
Point her toward the door, please, Breska.
Like I've got something in my face. Adam!
The headphones are twisted around her, Breska.
Twisted. Their problem.
Okay.
Bring them in here.
Okay.
Get this thing out of here.
Coffee everywhere.
Irish coffee, no doubt.
Just spilled coffee everywhere. Wow. Did you get some of that on you, Breska?
No.
Did she rip your glasses off of you?
I think she did.
Wow.
She's a mess.
Your glasses
she stepped on them, too.
It'd be a shame if something happened to the plaid sherbet-colored shirt that Breska's wearing.
What happened?
All right.
What happened?
You put that shirt on.
What happened? Is it St. Patty's Day already? All right. Where were we? Oh, so emotionally taxing. I don't know if that Drunken Tree Mascot was one of your best ideas, Shaq. I got to be honest.
Well, it just sounded interesting. I didn't realize that she was going to continue to come in here and be drunk. I figured she'd reform her ways.
Right.
America's about giving people a second chance.
No, you're right. You're right. Maybe we should revisit it after the show. Ed?
Hello?
The Ed?
Hey, Adam, how you doing?
Hey, Ed. Ed is our caller from Vegas who reviews shows for us. He's going to do Desperate Housewives. Ed lives in an apartment by the Palms. We were at the Palms. We didn't see him there when we were there. What happened, Ed?
Well, I got a little under the weather. I had a little bit of the diarrhea.
Oh, really?
So when I get that, I can't leave my house because... I make a mess a lot
no,
of times.
No, I understand. It's not the kind of business you want to take care of.
I wanted to see you bad, but my stomach wouldn't allow it.
Well,
you had 4 hour stretch of diarrhea?
Appreciate it. Oh.
It was a while.
I did at least 4 hours two weekends ago.
Yeah, when you
at
get
least.
That, you don't want to leave.
Yeah. All right, Ed, look.
I watch TV in the bathroom sometimes.
Let me tell you something. Diarrhea, not a bad one for the fellas to use. You ladies always have the sort of feminine stuff to fall back on. And as soon as you work into that with the boss immediately, no. Listen, fine, whatever. The point is if you say, I didn't make it in or I'm not going to come in, and if you want to play the tampon card, the male boss that you have will always just immediately nip it in the bud and say, fine, let's just get back to work today. If a guy wants to play the diarrhea card, and that's a sloppy card, but if he wants to play that card, he can probably get away with it. If you want to humiliate yourself, I mean, you could miss work, and your boss could be PO'd and ready to fire you. And if he said, listen, it's humiliating, but I had to run something fierce, and I couldn't even get off the toilet to get to the phone. He'll probably give you a pass, yes? That is our menstrual cycle. Diarrhea. Thank you. So the ad will give you a pass because of that.
Okay.
Oh, we look forward to seeing you and your four sons.
Hopefully you'll come back in a couple of weeks.
We'll come by just to see you. Did you see Desperate Housewives?
Yes, I watched it last night.
Mm-hmm.
And the Desperate Housewives was on. Finally, it was on.
Yeah.
So, and you know what I figured out?
Hmm.
It's really four shows in one.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's got four stories about the four ladies. So
mm-hmm.
I wrote a story about each of them.
All right. Well, let's hear those.
So first, mm-hmm. the redhead lady was back drinking again.
Mm-hmm.
And she thought everyone was talking bad about her, and she got mad.
Marsha Cross was, yeah.
Her son don't like that she drinks,
mm-hmm.
so he punched himself in the face and told a lawyer that the red-haired lady did it.
Mm.
Now, she got to go to court for that.
Our last guest, punched himself in the face at the airport, evidently, too. And let me just say something. He has a shiner. I don't know if we really got into that, but he has a very black shiner. Sorry, go ahead, Ed.
Well, she looked a lot prettier this week. I ain't like her that first time, but she looked all right.
Growing on you.
Yeah, then the blonde-haired lady, her husband, well, she's her husband's boss,
mm-hmm.
and they're having problems, I think, because of that.
Mm-hmm.
And they got in a fight about some mints,
mm-hmm.
and then she burnt her husband's dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And I still don't like her.
Now, these are the stories that the ad wrote about each of the girls on the show.
Right.
It happened on the show last night.
Yeah, I didn't see it, so that's why we're asking, yeah.
Then the Gabriella, I like her. Her mm-hmm. husband and her are still trying to get a baby.
Mm-hmm.
They go to an office to get a baby, and the lady tells them they might get one. Then another lady comes in, and she knows the Gabriella and her husband, and she tells the other lady that the Gabriella had sex with a high school boy, and her husband had sold slaves.
Mm-hmm.
So it don't look like they're getting a baby now.
Did you hear the revelation about Lois Lane being abused, being I think she was sexually abused or something like that growing up?
That could be the reason why she's getting her surgery, because she's getting surgery in the show,
mm-hmm.
and when she lays on the bed, the doctor kisses her before the surgery.
Ooh,
and
yeah,
then,
my dentist did that once before I had a root canal. I thought it was weird, but I went with it.
I never had that happen.
Yeah.
Then the nurse finds out that Lois has a husband, but she says she ain't going to tell.
Yeah.
So before the surgery, the doctor tells Lois that he loves her, but she says she loves Mike.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found out the doctor's name is Ron, and I don't know who Mike is.
Mm-hmm.
Now she's messing with three men, and the doctor gets mad. And you won't believe this, Adam. He calls her a bitch.
Really? The B word?
He said it.
You wouldn't do that to a woman, right? You're no stranger to playing the ladies, and you would never do something like that, true?
No, not very often. I've said bad things, but not too often.
All right.
So overall, you know, you got me on a good show.
All right.
Which one of these housewives do you find the most attractive, the Ed?
Huh?
Which one? Which girl do you like the best?
Oh, the Gabriella.
Gabriella.
Now, Lois, you know, Lois looked different than when she was on that other show about 10 years
ago. Lois Lane, yeah. Superman. Right, Lois
and
Clark.
Yeah, she don't look the same. She looked like she's a little older.
Yeah, that happens sometimes.
I still like her, though.
Thank you.
But Gabriella, I don't know where they found her, but wow.
Okay. Hey, Ed.
Huh?
Thanks for the review. We're running out of time, unfortunately, but keep watching, please.
Yeah, I'll watch it next time.
All right, thank you, the Ed. It's the Ed from Las Vegas. Well, we are plumb out of show. I want to thank Gene Simmons for coming in here and rubbing his stink on Rachel Perry. Fred Goss, sons, daughters, and my ex-neighbor. Tuesdays, 9 o'clock on ABC. I want to thank our drunken tree mascot girl for coming in here. I'm sorry for her spilling the coffee and everything, Brusca, but we can sober up and bring her back. I want to thank Bill Cott for doing a fabulous Howard Cosell and playing along with us. Also, thanks to the Bernie Mac Show Friday's 8 o'clock on Fox, and for providing our pool table. Bill Cott can be found at the UCB Theater Thursday, 9 o'clock, in a musical improv. All right. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying, mahalo.